The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay, thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Screw Radio Row at the Super Bowl. This is where the action is. This is where you get your unadulterated PFW Patriots talk right here. Right here, baby. And we're going to do it until 2 o'clock. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's how you call in. You email in webradio@patriots.com. We got a lot of Patriots stuff to talk about. We're going to do our Super Bowl picks later in the show.
Got to hurry.
So big show coming up. But right off the bat, Andy.
What'd you forget, Paul?
I forgot to get the final spread.
Oh. Andy has some problems with the Larry Fitzgerald story that's been circulating around.
Stories.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is people are saying that the Patriots had interest in Larry Fitzgerald at the beginning of last season. And then there's different versions of that. So, Andy, what's your beef?
My beef is a little bit with Paul's guy, Jeff Howe, today.
Uh-oh.
When the report first came out, immediately Tom Curran's report comes out. Patriots sent out feelers, apparently last offseason at some point, of their interest in Larry Fitzgerald.
Now, to you, what does that mean?
Yeah, feelers. You contacted the Cardinals.
What would
just
it take?
A loose phone call? Not even. Just a phone call.
Is he available?
Is he available?
Any chance?
Right.
Any chance? Yeah, would you
right.
even,
should
would
I
you
even
consider
ponder
it?
The
exactly.
thought?
Yeah,
that's
even,
a feeler.
Right.
Right.
Right? Right.
So Ian Rappaport immediately tweets, first, the Cards have heard of it. So which Tom Curran replies to that tweet and said, right, that's why I didn't say it got to talks. Well, then what is a feeler if it was the feeler via email? Or are we like, who did you put a feeler out to? Just, you know, your postman? You think it'd be a good idea if we traded for Larry Fitzgerald? How do you feel about that? A feeler has to go to the Cardinals. It can't go anywhere else.
Or the Cardinals could be just denying it and lying.
Could be.
That could
yeah.
be.
Or
yeah.
whoever Tom Curran's source could be full of SHI.
Right.
Or the person at the Cardinals saying it's the first I've heard about it might be the first that person was heard,
right.
had heard of it.
Or but that person may not have been there last year.
Can I?
Could be.
Can I just backtrack just a little bit? Just in Andy's timeline, you say maybe the Cardinals are lying. Well, doesn't Tom Curran saying, yeah, that's why he didn't say it got to talks, sort of back up Rappaport's?
So then what does feelers mean?
Mm.
Tom.
Right?
Yeah.
Curran himself admits that, oh, no, that's why I said they didn't have any talks.
Right.
So the Cardinals say there was no talks, and Curran says, yeah, that's why I said there was no talks. That kind of backs up Rappaport saying
does.
The Cardinals.
Yeah.
And then yesterday and today, Paul's guy, Jeff Howe, Boston Herald,
it's twice.
Muddies the water even more.
You're going to punch him.
He
today.
Blogs first, I believe, that the Patriots had no real talks with the Cardinals, and then in the print version had no serious talks with the Cardinals. But that implies that there were talks.
Right.
Yeah.
So were there feelers? Maybe there were feelers. Maybe Ian Rappaport is wrong with his sources from the Cardinals.
If you're Nick Caserio, You're
taking the Dolphins job. Yeah.
If you're Nick Caserio, you're not doing your job if you don't inquire. You're simply not doing your job.
Right.
And the answer might be, we're not even talking about it. Fine.
Right.
To me, that's a feeler.
That's a feeler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It didn't work very well.
Right.
I felt nothing.
Right.
And I'm going home.
But I'm sure Nick's doing the same thing this year.
So did they reach out to the Cardinals or not? Because Tom Curran sort of made it seem like they did, and then in his tweet that they didn't, and Ian Rappaport that they didn't, but now Jeff Howe makes it seem like they did.
I assume that they did.
I assume they didn't.
Jeff's report almost backs up Tom Curran's report.
Right.
While he's trying to deny Tom Curran's report.
The first report.
Right.
Right. Not Curran's second
report.
Not
the second one.
That's why I didn't say I got to talk.
Right. Yeah. So it's kind of like a big circle. Like they're all saying, oh, you did, you did.
Tom Curran also used the word mustn't.
Now, Paul, you say
in the story.
You assume that they mustn't.
Is that even a word? No, mustn't. M-U-S-T-N apostrophe T.
I don't think there were ever any talks between the Patriots and the Cardinals.
But
I don't either.
Mustn't.
But that doesn't mean they didn't reach out.
You know, there was a T in there. Mustn't.
Who'd they reach out to?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
I'm not sure it's a word.
Yeah. GM
and it's certainly
GM
not a word I would use.
Okay, I don't think that happened.
Okay.
I don't think the Patriots talked to the Cardinals.
You don't think they did?
No.
I don't think they did either.
And the reason
Tom Curran backtracked immediately.
Yeah, that's why. Otherwise, I would be standing on Curran's side because we all know what I think of the crap sheet. I would dismiss Crapsheet's report.
Right.
But Curran backed up Crapsheet's report by saying, yeah, that's why I didn't say there was talks.
Here's the scenario. At the owners' meetings last year, maybe Robert sees one of the Bidwells. Or Jonathan sees one of the Bidwells and goes up and in their chatting says, hey, Fitzgerald, what are you guys thinking about doing anything with him? And the Cardinals say, no, he's going to stay with us. That to me is a feeler.
Sure.
Okay. Now that's between owners. Maybe the Bidwell doesn't go to his PR guy and say, hey, Robert and Jonathan came up to me and were asking about Fitzgerald. So maybe Ian's source, let's say, is somebody in the PR department and he calls them and says, what do you know about this? And they say, it's first we've heard of it.
Right.
And so then he says, oh, first the Cardinals have heard of it.
That could be. Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that could be.
There's
I
a
don't
lot
think
of things
that has
could
any
be.
Prayer of being.
There's also
with.
Another
you think
layer
Ian
to
Rappaport
that.
Is going by a PR guy and not like
no,
a GM?
Okay, well.
Well, it could be anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
whoever
it's not
it
a PR guy.
No, but it could be anybody who doesn't know what he's talking about.
Would have the ability to have been talking to the Patriots about it. I don't think you just say, like a PR guy.
Or would have been in the mix, not necessarily talking
well,
to
but
the
Paul,
just somebody
just
in the room.
I don't know what it's like at Arizona, but in some teams, the PR guy is like straight line to the coach.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not
that's
the
true.
Same at every team.
Okay.
They have a lot more power and sway than at some other teams. It's true.
Now, may I ever tell true. You about Mike Nolan?
The sure. bottom line is Larry Fitzgerald is not going to be a Patriot. Now there's no chance. With everything that's involved, the Patriots have no cap money. He has a big cap figure. You know, why
crap
would the Cardinals? Yeah, but you'd still have to make it work. You'd have to maneuver to
oh,
make
so
it
it's
work.
Not crap.
It is crap. Because if they really
let me
wanted
just
him, they
is
could
crap
get him.
Or is it?
Can I just
it
tell
is
you?
Crap.
If they
it
wanted him,
them
they could get him.
Larry Fitzgerald.
No, it would not.
Okay.
The cap will not stop. But you know what? But you know what will?
Bring it up.
You know what will? His salary.
Well, yeah, because of the cap.
Not the cap. It's the money that they would have to pay him.
All right, so let's
it's not crap.
Let's just say
but
that
the bottom line is, why would the Cardinals trade him now?
Larry Fitzgerald.
You won 10 games, and you're trying to win your division,
right.
and you have Carson
well,
Palmer.
Well, that's the bigger
you
issue.
Have your own little window now. You actually have a quarterback that you think might be able to get
that's,
you somewhere.
That's the bigger issue. Why would Arizona even deal with it? But I think Larry Fitzgerald has come out and said, I'd be willing to do an extent, you know, a restructuring as long as it's not a pay decrease.
Right, anybody
right.
would. It means I get my money guaranteed
right.
instead of
in
waiting.
In other words,
he
probably end up getting more.
He would
in other
pull
words,
a Brady.
He wants to be Tom Brady.
Right, right.
It's what every player wants to do. Yeah, I'll do a restructure. You guarantee the money now.
Right.
Hand it to me now.
Right. Yeah, I think the biggest reason why there's no chance that Larry Fitzgerald comes here is because the Arizona Cardinals don't want
exactly.
to get rid of him.
I'm
correct.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Me.
But money is also an issue.
Yeah.
It would have been a more easily done deal last year than it is now. Financially.
Yeah.
Because the Patriots don't really have cap room right now. They're going to be doing some finagling.
Well, I think, what did they say? They have $7-8 million right now.
Yeah, I
More
don't
like
know
five.
Exactly. But
then that rolls into next year, which is.
No, four is rolling into next
four
year.
Four is rolling into next
yeah,
year.
Yeah, four and change. Four,
and then
yeah.
have they determined what the cap
no,
level
not
is?
Yet.
No.
Yeah, so they might get a little bit more than they thought.
Right.
And then they're going to do a whole bunch of restructuring. And I'm sure they're going to pick up. They'll probably end up with $20 million in room. When all is said and done.
I agree.
You know?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It would seem that there's some really basic things that can be done to free up some space without significantly
oh,
altering
yeah.
the team.
Like Sopo Aga, you can cut and you pick up like $2 million.
Right.
Okay, that's nice. Yep. That's a nice little bump because he's
for
not
a guy who's inactive,
healthy scratch. Yeah.
And we're assuming right now that they're going to have to handle Hernandez's number, but they may not have.
Right.
To.
Right. That's a
that's
chance.
A huge
that
one.
That could be a big chunk.
Well, now you all of a sudden have money
have
to play with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's a big hit but right now.
Mm-hmm. I find it hard to believe that's going to play itself out in a timely enough fashion to.
Yeah.
I mean, March 11th isn't that far away.
I was wondering about that. Like, you know, we all assume he's guilty. I mean, based on what we know. But let's just say you got arrested for something like that. And you're sitting in jail. I mean, doesn't it seem unfair that you're sitting in jail for so long before trial happens?
But that's the legal stuff.
I know.
The way it is.
The way it works.
Yeah. You know, it's
there's
like,
so many cases backlogged.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't necessarily be the case if it wasn't such a
High-profile,
you know, well, high-profile, but I don't even severe.
You know, if it's taking
he executed
you this
a guy,
to
he's being
gather
accused
the
of
evidence
executing.
On me, maybe you know you got the wrong guy. I don't
know, but
and I'm not backing up Aaron Hernandez.
But you don't really
are you feeling
that,
sorry for Aaron Hernandez?
No.
Making cases in murder cases takes a long time.
Right.
You can't just snap your fingers and get all. There's a difference between knowing that someone did it and then proving it on paper. That
no, I know,
this
but
happened.
So.
That takes
but
a long time.
But the fact that you have to sit in jail while they build that case.
Well, that's what happens when you murder somebody.
Would you rather he be out murdering other people?
I mean, he'd probably be at home if it was like a white-collar crime.
Right, yeah. That's what happens when you're accused of murdering somebody.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, but if you were accused of shoplifting, he wouldn't be sitting
behind bars.
And
not just if you're accused. He has been charged with first-degree murder. There's enough evidence, you know, it's not just an accusal. He has been charged with first-degree murder.
It just seems like there's so much time between when he was arrested to when... I don't even know when there's a trial set. Is there a date?
Right, but both sides want time. The defense wants time, too.
But why can't that time be spent with him with a ankle bracelet at home?
Because then
serious?
He can kill people.
Like, seriously? Like a guy accused of first-degree murder you think should be home doing this? Why don't we put him in Club Med?
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
Did you put him in your backyard and see
imagine that.
But we're all innocent until found guilty.
And
right?
He is, too.
And he is, too.
But there
but
is
he's
a
sitting
question,
in a jail.
But there's
he
a question as to whether he's a harm to the public. That's why they have these hearings and to decide whether a guy deserves bail, doesn't deserve bail.
Exactly.
Dangerousness.
He had his
you
time
hear
in
those
court,
all the time.
And they
dangerousness
said, no,
hearings.
Stay behind bars.
Yeah.
He's a man who is charged with one murder. Could be charged with two more. He's dangerous. He's dangerous to society. That is a fair assumption to make.
And, literal and menace
according,
to society.
You know, yes. With a lot of hearsay, admittedly, there's plenty of other incidents
right.
that he's been charged with. Shooting another guy in the face.
Wow. He shot him in the arm and it accidentally traveled up.
He didn't
his
do
face.
It on purpose.
Right. He was aiming for the arm.
Meant to hit him in the arm.
Well, the gun just went off.
Right.
Sure.
I pulled the trigger.
When he pulled
crazy.
The trigger.
I just want to have a trial already. Because I want the money back.
But that's
you're going to have to get the 2012 one.
You
I
need
think.
The other one, which is why I think it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
You need that other one to come through.
I don't
that
think
one is not being people are taking phrases when you read those stories that police think Hernandez was the shooter. And then you read it, there is possibility that he may have been. Well, that's not what the headline said. It said they think. Mm. That they think he may have been because he was in the car. They think the car involved shot the people. But they don't know whether he was driving or the shooter, whatever.
Or both.
Right. Or both. Or
either way, he's involved.
No, I know. But it's not quite the home run
home, the,
yeah, that everybody's
open and shut case.
Yeah. I don't think this one is actually either. I mean, the more legal people you say, they're going to have trouble proving that he pulled the trigger.
Well, but he still goes to jail for some time.
Oh, he will be in jail.
Yeah,
yes, he will be in jail. But will he be in jail for first-degree murder found guilty?
Right.
There is some question as to that.
He could be an accessory to first-degree murder.
Either way, if he's convicted, the Patriots got to get their at least get a credit for their.
I don't
for
know.
Cap.
I don't know what the rules are and what they can get.
It should. I mean, if a guy goes to jail, that's to me breaking the.
I know, but you talk about 2012.
Spirit of
well,
your contract.
You play for 2012. You got your services out of him for 2012.
No, but you paid him a signing bonus and guaranteed money based on a full length of a contract.
Yeah, so you
not
get
a single year.
You get what he hasn't played yet.
Right.
I guess. Yeah.
When did he become a Hernandez apologist?
I'm not.
I don't know, but I guess I'm the only one. I just don't think that you should get cap space for that. I don't think the Carolina Panthers should have gotten cap space for Ray Carruth. I think, you know, that these things happen and.
These things happen.
No, you deal with them. I mean, that's. I don't think
guy
you should
hides
cap space.
Guy though. Hides in a trunk.
These things happen.
No. I didn't mean that. I didn't say it like that. I'm saying the with the cap. It's not a. You know, listen. These things. The, you know, there's bad decisions get made, and I just don't. I don't want to draw the line somewhere. I think I think it's blanket. You don't get the cap space. You know, let's just say for argument's sake, I don't believe all of the people that have said this, but a lot of teams claim that they took him off the draft board because of they didn't want to, they thought that stuff like this,
right?
You know, potentially could have, this was a bad guy. Let's say that. No one knew he was a murderer, but they thought he was a bad guy.
He was a risk.
So there should be some fallback for that. There should be some risk involved for the team that actually does sign him. And listen, it's not the Patriots' fault. We've said this millions of times. The Patriots had no way of knowing that the guy was a sociopath, allegedly. But I think that to just give him the cap space, well, what's to prevent you from signing the next guy with a sketchy past? Do something to make these teams accountable.
Well, the
stay
risk
away
is,
from these guys.
The risk isn't just about losing money. The risk is harming your brand and harming, you know, making your team look bad and losing the services of a guy, you know, you drafted high. And so there's more than a money risk when you draft a guy like that, that you can't ever recover.
And you should have to have all of those risks.
Yeah. It's fair. I mean, it's hard to draw the line. Like we said, you know, if this gets too prevalent, you'll end up having teams framing guys just to get money back, knowing the way
you're basically saying
I don't even take it to that.
You can't breach your contract.
No. I think you don't get paid. You know, they don't have to pay him anything
right.
else.
He's
they don't.
Not
they're not
the
liable
money.
For cap dollars that they haven't paid.
This is just a non-paper thing. Paul's talking.
Yeah.
About.
No, but
yeah.
well, but you're when
no,
you
he
pay
breached
him
his contract like Eric said,
or $10 million up front. That's really payment for the entirety of the contract. You're not paying that for the current service. You're paying that over the length of the deal.
No,
in
but,
your mind, that is included in right. what you're investing in this guy.
Yes, right. but if you choose to cut the guy after 1 year, because he, you know, and you still every bit as much you expected him to live out the life of the contract, and he didn't, you don't get the money back then.
So there's no repercussions on the player's end. Like you know, if you go ATVing in the Sahara and flip over and break your spine. There's no repercussion on the player. You didn't risk anything because you didn't breach your contract.
Yeah, no. If,
I mean, you did,
if
but
the Patriots,
you get, there's no financial
if the Patriots need to get money back from him, they can fight that in court all they want. I don't.
Right.
I don't.
That's gonna be a legal
I'm talking
issue.
About on paper. Like what they do
too.
To Aaron Hernandez is fine. Like if they are entitled to get money back, if the Kraft family is entitled to get part of that signing bonus back, I have no problem with that.
Well, if you get it back, then you should get it back.
I don't
on
think
the
you
cap.
Should get I don't think you should get it back on
Well, that's kind of what I think they were
cap
saying.
Number,
the league is saying you have to actually get the money physically back in order to get the cap relief.
Right.
And I actually think that a signing bonus is you get that for signing, not for 5 years of playing football for me. You get it
right.
as a signing bonus.
Well, that
so
I
don't even
with,
think
yeah.
you should have to give that back. I think you earned that the day you signed the contract.
I think that's the totality of the contract, because there's so many guys that make no money, you know, and they have a huge bonus that they're, you know, first 4 years of the deal they're making,
but
you
can't say
grand.
That there's no repercussions. I mean, the guy's career's over.
Yeah, but he's got his money. I mean, he like
a lot of good the money's
so there's no
him.
Point in putting those things in the contract to say you can't do this if I don't benefit or if I can't mm. collect it, if there's no ramifications.
Yeah, I just think it's
I mean, in
it's
this
one
case,
of those things.
In this
I don't. I don't think that you should be able to.
It's pretty clear cut. This guy did something detrimental to the team, to the league.
Oh, every yeah.
But
everything,
there were
yeah.
there if it was like that, there would be gray cases where, well, we think what you did was detrimental. Well, I don't, you know, and it would be a mess. I think.
Yeah.
You know,
but that happens. I mean, that happens in everything. Right.
So what are you saying?
I mean, there's always arbitrators and
I know.
And it's not
there's
something.
Always disputes and there's always back and forths. I just think like the fact that the Tampa Bay Bucks traded for Jake the snake. What the hell's his name?
Oh,
Jake Plummer.
Yeah, Jake Plummer. So that they could acquire potential cap space when he retired from the Broncos, and the Patriots can't get cap space back from Aaron Hernandez murdering somebody. Well, that doesn't seem.
Yeah, that doesn't right. that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I to me it's quite equitable. I don't think that you should be rewarded for it.
But the Bucks should be rewarded simply for trading for a guy who retired?
Well, they had, what if he didn't retire? What if he decided to play?
He had already retired.
No, but what if he decided to come out of retirement because the Bucks acquired him? I mean, do you know for sure that I don't know all the details of this Jake Plummer thing that you're bringing up. So
well, they
I
basically traded for him to get cap space. It was a deal
right.
that was kind of a.
He said, "I'm not playing football yeah. anymore." And the Bucks
so what
said,
should what should have happened?
So retired
like,
guys
I don't
have
know,
to pay
I don't know
back
all the details of
cap
this.
Space, but other guys don't. I mean, if you murder somebody, if you retire, you broke your contract. But if you murder somebody, you're fine. Like,
so how did an acquiring team generate cap space then?
because the signing bonus that he had signed with the Broncos, they were pursuing a portion of the cap space from that, and with him being there, the cap space, I don't know how it ever played out. I don't know whether they actually acquired it.
You understand my questioning, because like when you acquire a player, signing bonus doesn't come with it.
But you acquire his
cap
contract.
Space. You acquire the contract.
Correct.
So if you were never paying that guy a salary, how did you get cap space?
That's what they were doing. And I don't know if they won or not. It was going to go to arbitration
special master
because it was one of these gray areas.
Yeah,
but I don't understand how that's even conceivable. Mm. When at,
why
like,
is that a
look,
conversion?
If the Patriots get cap, I don't think it'll be like this huge, you know, problem or black mark against the league. It's ridiculous that they gave the Patriots cap space. I'm sure they will get cap space. It's not something that I feel overly strong about. I guess I'm just in the minority, and I don't think the Patriots are entitled to it. Whereas I think, you know, if you listen to anybody around here, oh, of course, you know, when he can't play for us anymore, we should get the cap space for it. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. That's all. But I don't think it's like a huge like balance of power shift that, you know, would be unfair to the rest of the league if the Patriots get cap relief. Well, I mean, if that's the way it
the
works
cap's
out,
not, never
I'm sure it'll
anyway.
Work out. It usually does.
The Cowboys and the Redskins got raped more than anybody.
That, to me, was the most equitable, inequitable cap thing I've ever seen.
And
two teams in an uncapped year that spent money and then were penalized for it after the fact. I don't understand that.
Jared says, you can't assume bad guys in college are going to commit crimes and wind up in jail. Patriots shouldn't have to take a cap hit for extenuating circumstances. Give the Patriots their $7.5 million in cap space back.
Says fine. Jared. Why don't we sign them all? Sign them all. He's got every guy who's got a criminal past. We'll sign them all. There's no repercussions.
Well, again, there are repercussions besides money. So
you lost a fourth round pick.
You know,
big deal.
Yeah. You big did deal. Lose a little bit of shine. Lost,
it could tear apart. A little shine. You have a bunch of guys like that in your locker room, right?
Hasn't so far.
Oh, they have a bunch of guys like that?
I'm talking about in the league. I'm not talking about the Patriots. I'm talking about
it's
in
like
the league.
It's like the OK Corral in there. They're coming out of the locker. Bang, 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 bang.
I'm talking about the whole league, not the Patriots locker room.
I don't know.
The whole league is never.
How many murders were there in the NFL last?
I'm not talking about murders, Fred. I'm talking about bad guys. Don't do that. Don't be Andy and take
a hyperbolic
state. The NFL has never had more criminals in it than it does right now, and it's never been more popular. So how bad is it really hurting your brand? How's the shine on the league?
I think certain teams have had a problem with it. I mean, the Bengals.
Yeah, and how has it hurt them is my question.
I think it does.
It doesn't.
With the reputation.
Where did you get the NFL has never had more criminals? Like
know,
the turd watch.
That's a big statement.
Yeah, but there didn't used to be a turd watch, so I don't like.
Well, if you include DUIs as
criminals.
I'm sorry. It's anecdotal. It's absolutely anecdotal. Andy's right. But I think most people would say that there are more and more arrests on a daily basis in the NFL than there ever have been. It's anecdotal. I don't have the facts to back that up.
I just assume they've been whack jobs forever. That there's been a lot of bad guys.
I think we hear about a lot more now.
Right, because the internet and everything's bubbles to the top.
Right.
You really don't think there's more guys getting arrested now than there were like 20 years ago?
I think the crackdown on DUI, if you add those up, that's probably accounts for most of it, the DUIs.
Okay, so, you know. Only the non-serious DUIs.
Well, but that is also a modern thing.
Right.
They didn't have DUIs as often back 20
years ago. A lot of
times,
back in the day, you play for the Lions, they escort them home.
Well, back in the day, everybody got escorted home.
Right.
Like, it was a joke. I mean, literally, it was kind of a joke. Oh, Pop's got a little too liquored up at the party last night. Oh. It was more of a socially accepted thing.
My point is,
they realize people die.
It doesn't seem to be hurting the league's popularity, is my point. That's all. So I don't really think this whole shine off the team thing, I don't think you lose much. I think your repercussion.
Well, they lost 7% in that poll that we talked about.
I think your repercussion from signing or dealing with bad guys is not all that big.
I think once in a while it isn't, but I think if you have a locker room full of them, it is.
Well, of course if you have
and
all
it's
of them.
And it's going to hurt you on the field too, you know, wins and losses.
No, Andy would argue it didn't hurt you.
You know,
just ridiculous.
So anyway,
how do you
he's
like
better
it?
Than Matthew Mulligan?
How do you like it?
So anyway, Larry Fitzgerald isn't coming to the Patriots.
No, he's not. And I just want to clarify too, Paul's friend.
I'm interested in Calvin Johnson.
Jermaine Wiggins.
Why not?
Oh, sure.
Send out a feeler.
Well, along those lines, Paul. Let me get to it. Jermaine Wiggins tweeted out some names the Patriots should look into at wide receiver: Fitz, Roddy. I assume me, White.
White.
Gordon.
Josh.
Decker.
Eric.
A. Johnson. Graham, wigs out. So the only one that is like plausible is Decker because he's a free agent. I mean, how are we?
Well, Graham's a free agent.
Yeah, and they've already said, he's going to be franchised. Yeah, there's 0% chance that he's leaving on him. Like, can we be a little realistic in what we're shooting for? I mean, it's essentially everybody who's been an all-pro receiver in the last 3 years.
No Calvin Johnson, though, huh?
No.
Well, he said A. Johnson, room. Didn't he?
A. Period. A. Andre.
Oh, Andre. Oh, I thought you meant one of them.
Bill O'Brien.
That's the other one we can trade for.
Put the Greg Schiano, like, you will trade Andre Johnson to
me. That's the new guy that's sort of generating some, because he would be, he doesn't want to sit through a rebuilding process. Like, you know, they were a year removed from
Super Bowl. Best team in football, a year ago.
Is it impossible that they could win 12 games next year?
And, offensive-minded coaches love to get rid of offensive weapons.
Right.
Mm. I like Jermaine, but what are you doing, bud?
Well, it's,
Wig's out.
He is out, all right.
Out his mind.
You know, even though, a guy that gets franchised, he's still available if you want to pay the
money. Exactly. Maybe. Well, they haven't even said which way they're going to franchise.
That's true. Yeah. There are two types
of franchise.
Because they've been pretty adamant that he is not
going
anywhere.
What's it called? The exclusive franchise.
Exclusive franchise?
Yeah. He's not going anywhere. There is no chance. It ain't happening. The only way you could have got him is when I told you to draft him with Gronkowski a few years back.
All right. What else are we talking about here, Patriots-wise?
How about Welker at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Had some comments. Was asked about...
why does Bill hate you?
Yeah.
He gave a Belichick response.
Yeah, you gotta ask him. I don't know that he does.
Yeah, I think that first part is important. He didn't say that he hated him.
Right.
He said, I don't know that he does, have to ask him about it.
Wes, just so you know, he hates you.
That's what I think.
The XFL guy.
Guess that's what Wes thinks. Mm. He won't say it,
he
thinks.
He's too smart to say it.
Right. Yeah, smart. At this point.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Wait, what? You said a bunch of words but said nothing.
I watched that 2007 cat throw over and over this morning. You should have had it.
2007?
Yeah.
Which one should he have
had? You mean 2011?
Oh, 2011, I mean, yeah. You should have had it.
Because as he
should have been a better throw too.
Well, caught 11 passes.
Could have been better, but should have had it.
Tied a Super Bowl record.
Did you see where he pointed that out?
Yeah.
You know, one of my Super Bowls, I tied a record for catches. The other didn't work out the way I wanted to.
Oh, so I really want to win the other one.
I really like him. I'm sorry. I'm rooting for him. I hope he catches 12 passes for 150 yards, two touchdowns, has the MVP, and just shines.
What do you think about Marshawn Lynch?
I hate it. Do your job. It's part of your job. It's my Bill Belichick thing. If you just want to run the football, go play for the River City Rapids Runners in Iowa. Nobody will watch you, you can make your $22,000 a year.
I don't understand the defense. You know, he doesn't really want to talk, so why are you forcing him to?
How about Pete Carroll saying, not only he doesn't like these situations, and he doesn't like it when people tell him to do stuff.
Well, that's a Bethel Johnson.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
And you're okay with this, coach?
Right.
Like, I mean, have you just bowed down to the altar? He didn't practice yesterday. That's what we do on Wednesdays. Yeah, but it's a bye week, so why do you have to rest him on the Wednesday when he's been resting already?
And that would be a point in my favor, by the way, the Seattle Seahawks, on your whole argument. Like, you can't have too many of them. Well, they have a whole locker room of them. It doesn't hurt them very much. And
whole locker room of bad guys?
Criminals.
Really?
Yeah.
Criminals.
No. Criminals and steroid abusers. Only 11 of them got popped so far, but...
Now, do you include steroid abusers as criminals?
You don't think there's a difference between actually getting caught and just, like, they all do it? Like, they have 11 different guys that have been caught. You don't think there's a difference between that and, like, they all do it?
Yeah, I think the difference is they're not smart about it.
Because they're criminals.
That's a reach, Paul.
It's not a reach.
He is. He's making these big leaps.
Yeah.
It's a team. It's just utter lawlessness. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But is it...
So taking Adderall is now lawlessness.
Oh, okay. That's what they're taking. Now Andy thinks they're taking Adderall. The guy who thinks that absolutely every professional athlete is on steroids believes that the Seattle Seahawks are the one team that they're on Adderall.
Which is why I don't think they're all criminals in Seattle, because I think they're doing what everybody else is doing. Now, they may be criminals. I don't know. Marshawn Lynch comes off as I don't want to say the word, thug.
Well, he certainly is a criminal.
Thug. Yes,
he is. He's got the pass to prove it.
But in this minor issue, I am of the belief that your employer tells you to do something, you do it. You don't always like it. But if you want the job in question, you do what your employer
he's putting himself above his team, because I'm sure none of his teammates want to be there either.
Exactly, Fred. I don't think there's any other way to look at it.
I really don't,
But it comes, you know how you always say, this is the business we have chosen.
Yeah.
Like when it's a Sunday afternoon in July and we don't really want to be here.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? We have to be here because this is our job and that's part of the job.
I suppose if he had,
it is
like,
part of the job. And I don't care that they talk or what they say, but Andy's right about that.
Right. And I suppose if he had a doctor's slip saying that he had some type of phobia about...
Yes, and I'd actually be fine with that.
Then that'd be different.
Prove to me that you have social anxiety disorder and whatever.
Right, right.
And
that's why he
Williams.
Takes the Adderall.
I don't believe he's ever failed.
No, I don't think he has.
I'm not saying he couldn't
he's
fail.
He's been arrested multiple times, but right. I don't think he is one of the guys.
He just beat his wife, right?
I think really? He had a car thing, too, didn't he?
I thought he had a domestic dispute with
and Skittles
ass.
Wants to sign him as their spokesperson.
Because right. He runs the ball beast mode.
And you want to be
couldn't
my
root against him more.
Like
I hope him. Terrence Knighton falls on him, squishes him, and eats him.
Okay. What about
I do think the Seahawks have become more unlikable as the week has gone on.
You think so?
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
I think
and I didn't
very
dislike him coming
team.
In. And it's funny because I think a guy that's becoming more likable as the week goes on is the guy who started the week unlikable, Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
And it's Marshawn Lynch and Pete Carroll and some of the other douches that become more unlikable.
See, I don't really have a huge problem with Sherman, even though he's not necessarily my style.
I don't either.
I'm not the pound the chest guy, but I do think he's a pretty bright and articulate guy. I don't agree with what he did after the game last week, but I don't really have a huge problem with guys that talk trash in general. No.
Oh.
No.
Quite he uses steroids.
Well, he is one of the guys that got. He's one of the 11.
So I thought you included him as a criminal.
I just think that's part of the culture. And you add in the four or five guys that have been
arrested.
By the
arrested, way, using steroids is indeed criminal.
Yeah,
They're illegal.
Now you got half.
It's a banned substance without a prescription.
You're knocking
without
on like 25-30% of the team once you add in the arrests with the guys that have been accused or suspended, like Brandon Browner and the like.
He was in Canada. He missed a test.
Right.
So the Seahawks are the new Raiders, it sounds like.
Yeah, how'd you feel about them?
Yeah. I didn't like them.
No, but how did the rest?
I didn't like them.
But how was their brand?
Yeah, but that was their brand.
Right. Yeah,
they owned
that was
it.
Their
you
brand.
Know how
the,
you know how in dog
the face
dog
of the
dog.
NFL
you got to own
time.
It. They owned it.
Hmm. Absolutely, in the face of the NFL, it's just my point.
Yeah, but
like,
it
I don't
was
think
a different
it does...
time. I don't think that would fly these days.
Oh hell, yes it would.
Jesus,
you're out of your freaking mind.
I don't think so.
If they were winning
now,
games,
now you have to choose to want it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Robert Kraft wants that to be his brand.
And
he
I commend that about this organization.
But I think this...
Because I do believe that's important to the people that are in
charge. This culture of street cred and the kids today and all that crap, you could definitely be the rebel team,
And I believe that's important.
You can have that image, but if you're actually committing crimes,
well,
I don't think so.
We're not talking about murder, are we? Because that's a different
thing. No.
Okay.
No.
Because murder is, like above and beyond
everything. Getting popped for drugs or getting... Or stealing something, or getting into a bar fight. Things like that I'm talking about.
Bar fights, I don't think people care at all.
Somebody gets hurt, I think they
care. Yeah, they don't.
They don't
care? That becomes a story. you don't mess with him. Yeah. You don't try to take him on.
I think too much of that on one team today's, it wouldn't fly.
I think it would fly perfectly
if you
won
games. I think Goodell the
sheriff
would crack down on it hard.
Oh, well, that's different. Goodell the sheriff might try to. I'm talking about public perception. It was embraced by the owner. It was embraced by the fans. It was embraced by that community. I think that would be embraced again.
If
you win 12 games doing that kind of badass stuff, beating people up in bars, it would be embraced.
I don't think so. Not today.
Well, you're wrong.
I don't think so.
You're wrong.
He was also that type of owner.
Correct.
He liked that type
of
thing.
Well, that's why I said I don't think Robert Kraft embraces
seeing,
that.
Yeah, I would have a hard time seeing that.
But
here.
I could see, you know, any other of these young new age owners maybe going in that direction. You know, if Dan Snyder says, you know, F it. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be the Raiders. We're going for it.
Don't think so.
I do.
Not today.
You're wrong.
I don't understand. Why do you think not today? I don't really get that.
I just think, you know, in today's PC culture and everything else, there would be too much outcry. There'd be boycotts on advertisers that were with the team. I'm telling you, there'd be too much pressure on the organization to clean things up.
To win.
To clean things up.
Just win, baby.
Yeah.
Just win.
I think so. And I think that, you know, I think if you have too much of that, it hurts your efforts on the field too, you know.
Well, I don't know about that at all.
So.
That's unknown.
Yeah.
That's unproven.
Yeah, like I said, I think there's plenty of guys.
I mean,
plenty of bad
guys. Would you have a problem with a team like that? Beating people up in bars and getting popped for drugs and, you know, all that?
It's not the team I would want to root for.
I don't know.
Oh, you might actually like that.
Oh,
hey,
I think
Jackson, look up to these guys.
I don't think that he's I'm
just trying to be honest. No. First of all, don't look up to any of them.
Right.
Because 90% of them are a-holes.
Root for these guys.
I have no problem with that. If he is under the understanding this is pure entertainment, I have been consistent over the years. I like big, strong, athletic, specimens. I want to see the great. And
cheap
if there's
shots,
a little
he likes,
bit,
he's
I mean,
in favor.
I like wrestling.
He's in That's, favor of dirty
hits. You're basically blurring the line between wrestling and the NFL.
There's a difference between putting on entertainment and committing crimes.
But to me, if the guy gets into a bar fight, I don't care. If he gets popped for some drugs, I don't care. Does he murder somebody? I care.
But what if you have a
bunch
of people?
Does he beat his wife? I care.
All doing that on a team.
If it's just the drugs and the bar fights, I'm fine. Yeah. It doesn't bother me.
What about hitting their wife?
And that bothers
me.
No,
that bothers me.
That crosses a line.
I'm sorry, but you have, if you're a human being, that one bothers you.
So
there's a, I mean, obviously there's a limit, but if you're telling me that they're just guys that sort of glorify drugs a little bit and are getting into bar fights, I'm okay with it.
Basically,
if they're
telling
good,
me the Oakland
way,
Raiders.
They're going to be good. Oh. Because you can't. No. Well, yeah, you have to be good to
no,
get away with it.
Like the Oakland Raiders culture of the late
yes.
70s. They absolutely could do that today.
I don't.
They absolutely
see
could
any
do that
doubt.
Today. They were outlaws and they wore it on their sleeve. They played on the edge. They played over the edge. That's how they played. That's how they won. You
I
could absolutely
think,
do that
I don't
today.
Think in today's NFL it would fly. I don't, even if you won. I don't think yeah. it would fly. That's just my opinion.
I mean, it's been flying for a few years in Cincinnati, and they haven't even won.
It really hasn't. They've been highly criticized.
So?
But who cares about criticism?
You know, and
show me the bottom line.
You know who else is highly criticized?
Bill
Belichick, Tom Brady, and the New England
Patriots. Bottom line. They're one of the least profitable teams in the league.
Well, I don't
that's,
think
that's that's a whole different argument.
Well,
it is.
That's a whole different. First of all,
it's Paul Brown Stadium. Boom! I can add $10 million to my profits every single year.
And they've also cleaned up a lot of that whole image too.
So why? Why did they clean it up?
Because they weren't winning. Now they're winning.
Oh, well. So
that's
now,
all I'm saying.
So they're going to go back to that now?
Did they really clean it up?
I don't know.
I mean, just because we don't talk about it as much.
I think
Ray Mauluga's a punk. Vontaze Burfict's a punk. Adam Jones is a punk. They still have punks all over their roster.
It's true.
No.
You just don't talk about it as much because we've moved on to a different story.
No one talks about
are
it
they
anymore.
Being arrested?
Now Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch are thugs.
Are they being arrested?
Vontaze Burfict is the dirtiest player in the league. He easily, this year. He was involved in endless punching guys in the nuts. He's just a whack job douche. And no one cares.
Because he led the league in tackles.
Right. Because he plays. I mean, his coach practically cried when he made the Pro Bowl because he deserved it so much. Really? Why did he deserve it? For being an a-hole? Because he's good.
I'm talking about
winning
getting arrested.
Cures all.
Yeah. Not that type of stuff. Yeah. Not the off-field getting
yes,
arrested.
Yes, it does. Now, murder, wife beating, it doesn't cure all those.
Yeah.
But it cures bar fights.
What? How do we get here?
You walk down the hallway. A little chill.
The Aaron Hernandez discussion.
Yeah. No, but we got to like this whole. Like,
it was your fault.
How many guys?
You called everybody a criminal.
No,
the NFL
just,
has more criminals than they've ever had. Well, that's fact, not opinion.
I'm glad I had at least one guy who thinks that I'm right on that. You sort of nodded that anecdotally there's more arrests today than there were.
I think so, yeah.
Is that who you want to be aligned with,
so.
Eric, really?
The only rational one of the group?
Eric's rational?
Yeah.
Always.
He Eric's learned, rational?
Didn't learn
yes.
anything in
every
college.
Decision
exactly.
I ever made.
That's what
rational.
I'm going to.
What about
life
about
is
Pete
one
Carroll's
regret since Brown
comments.
Didn't let him in.
What's that?
What about Pete Carroll's comments about being restricted in what he could do when he was head coach here? Did you read those or see those?
I agree with it.
What exactly? I was looking for a little bit more detail.
He did not have any authority, really, right. on personnel. Or
he didn't have bottom line say on the roster.
Yeah.
A side note, did you know Bobby Greer is in Houston now?
Yeah, I heard Teddy Johnson say that the other day.
Working for Houston?
Yeah, he's their assistant pro personnel director or something.
Didn't know that.
I didn't either. I don't like it.
Teddy
is
didn't
that
sound
new?
Like he was overly
like since O'Brien was hired?
It didn't
no,
sound that way.
I don't think so.
Sounds like he's been there.
Oh.
Teddy Johnson also called Bill's comments Bush League
yeah,
about
heard
Wes
that.
Welker.
Yeah.
That did not play well on Twitter when I tweeted it out.
Yeah,
people don't really like Ted Johnson around.
Teddy won't be coming up for any alumni events.
But he said, in the interview, he actually said, you know, I'd like to make my way back up to Boston, get back up there and settle up there or something someday. I'm not sure how popular he is right now.
Yeah.
The Vince Wilfork... Bianca Wilfork quotes, and they actually joked about it. Felger actually asked him, you know, whose wife or something. Ah, and they all
he goes, we have two questions, one serious and one a joke. Which teammate's wife was the ugliest one?
And everybody and just starts laughing and like, and Teddy's like, no.
Yeah.
But
I don't know, Freddie.
Paul and I did talk about this. Generally, people steal from us. Real radio steals from us, and it's worked for them. They're very successful.
Sure. Right?
This is the first time I've ever wanted to steal from them. Have you heard the question that they've been asking?
What, the duck question?
Yeah. Would you rather fight a horse-sized duck, just one, or 100 duck-sized horses.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on that one. I think now I'm going to go with the 100 duck-sized horses because the horse-sized duck can fly, and he can really screw you up.
I want him to fly. Get the hell out of here.
No, but he's going to fly at you.
Yeah, fly at you.
See, but I think I just, once I'm around his neck, it's over.
And he can also flap those wings. You'll never get near him.
Oh, I don't care about the wings. The beak scares the hell out of me. One hit from the beak, you're dead.
With the duck-sized horses, they really don't have arms. They have, you know, because they have to be on four legs.
But they have teeth and hooves. And if they get you down, they are going to stomp the F out of you.
How did this conversation, how did that question even come up?
Oh, I don't know. But this is what they ask every guest at the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
You might want to spray.
Wow.
Just letting you know. I still say it's the horse-sized duck. If I can avoid the beak, I'm just going to get around his neck and choke him out.
He's going to fly above you and meow, dive bomb you. And
100?
One versus 100.
Think of how many. 100 is a lot.
It is.
100. I just envision myself being pulled down into like this mass of horses and you never come up. You're getting stomped and bit and... Like, think of a horse when they do that thing where they go up on the front and kick back. Right. Yeah. 100 of them doing that to your head. And
but they can't all do it at the same time.
No, but a bunch of them can.
But you're kicking them and stuff.
Just think of, like, killer bees, how they kill you. This is like killer bees. Killer horses.
This is animal abuse.
Killer bees can fly. That's an advantage. You always have an advantage from above in a war.
That's true. Take the high ground.
Right. Right.
What's that guy? Ying Zi over here.
Sun Tzu.
The Art of War, Fred Kirsch.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eddie's been patiently hanging on from Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up,
hey,
Eddie?
Andy, you're right. Why don't you tell those guys that 90% of the guys in the NFL you wouldn't want to bring home to your daughters or anything. So I think I could care less if they're good guys or not. Can they play at the end of the day?
Right, as long as they don't cross the major lines of murder.
Yeah, murderers, you're saying. Yeah,
you know, stay out of
federal
prison.
If they are, that would just give you the cap space back anyway, so there's nothing to worry about.
At the end of the day. Hey, guys, yeah, usually I call you guys and bombard you about the defense and belts like that, always. But anyway, I just want to bring something up, and I'm kind of excited for this Super Bowl. You know why? Because ultimately this is going to see if my point is right about the whole aggressive defense thing. Is that, you know... I always want the Patriots to get an aggressive defense and everything, so we'll see how good an aggressive defense is in the Super Bowl, you know, against a Peyton Manning. So I'm curious to see what happens, but I wanted to ask you guys a question. If you're Seattle, do you play just like you've played the rest of the whole year? I mean, you're going for it, you're going after them all the time, da-da-da, or are you going to kind of take a page out of the Patriots book a little bit and maybe see, you know, three-man front, go after him or something, and maybe play some coverage to confuse him and make him want to run? What do you think?
That's a good question.
I think knowing Pete Carroll, he's going to be the same. He's going to say, we're going to win those one-on-one battles, and we're going to stay aggressive.
That's what they do. They man up in coverage, and they let their speed-based guys go get them, and that's what I would do.
I think that's what they did to New England when last year when we went up to Seattle, right?
Yeah.
I don't have any numbers.
They were aggressive.
Aren't they known as, they have a very deep pass rush with rotating guys.
Oh, yeah.
They don't blitz a lot, do
they? No, they don't need to. Yeah.
So they play the same way the Patriots did, only with better players.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I said. They'll win those one-on-one battles.
Right.
Yeah.
We're sold. Let's see what happens. I mean, at the end of the day, man, I want that aggressive defense. That's what I want.
Yeah, but okay. I don't think it's necessarily
right
about
players.
Aggressiveness. It's about personnel.
Well, but it is about drafting speed-based guys up front that are going to one gap and get
different.
After it.
That's
it's
different.
Not about blitzing. It's about the mentality of
He's
the
talking
speed-based...
about blitzing.
Oh.
He's talking about being aggressive in defense.
I don't know. Let Eddie speak for himself. What are you talking about, Eddie, when you talk about aggressive? What do you mean by
blitzing.
Being aggressive?
I'm talking about an overall aggressive style. Even let's go back to when they were running the 3-4, the Patriots. Their 3-4 was never like the Steelers
but
San Diego.
Right.
They
but what do you want to be aggressive with? Eddie, the Patriots basically do what the Seahawks do. They just don't do it as well because they're not as fast. And they don't have the rotation.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I know what Andy's talking about with scheme, but what are you talking about, Eddie, in terms of aggressiveness?
No, Fred just hit it in the head. Speed-based guys, you're right. I guess the Patriots tried to do that with the personnel that just doesn't match that. You're right, Fred. You got to have the speed, those fast guys, those lanky guys, like Collins. That's what I mean. I keep calling you guys and saying.
That's where I agree with Andy.
But that's what I mean. The athlete. We need to draft more athletes.
Mentality needs to be, I think, sort
well,
of dispersed.
One gap, you know,
well, no, just the mentality even. Like, if everybody played with Brandon Spikes' mentality, the defense would look different. You could run the same player. You could be in a 4-3 front. But if everybody attacked the line of scrimmage –
like he did. Now, it wasn't always successful. You know, I made fun of him at times for he was just going to blow up the guard over here, even though the ball was going in the other direction. But that aggressive moving forward approach and mentality, and Ted Johnson actually talked about that, how when he played for Pete, that was the most fun he ever had because it was in between the Belichick Parcells, you know, read and react, 3-4, two gap, where I'm just flowing, I'm running, I'm picking a gap, I'm blowing people up, I'm having good numbers.
How were Pete's defenses when he was the coach of the Patriots?
They were
those
good,
three
weren't
years?
They?
Were they? I don't know.
I think they were
I
pretty
can't
good.
Remember. I just knew Bledsoe was having trouble.
Right. I think the defense was pretty good.
So stupid.
but you guys understand what I mean?
I
guess let's see if now that we have a Collins, we see how a good like that, a kid like that is so good. He's fast. He's lanky. Like, we need more guys like that in that mold, in a sense, whether it's on the defensive line, maybe even in the secondary, you know, try to go after guys who look like Seattle, you know, and let's see how that, I think that'll, Tom Brady will love that if we could only go after that. But.
And I also don't think it's just about getting after the quarterback. I think it's a mentality from front to back, side to side. You know, you're not always just looking for the tackle. You're looking to hit somebody. You're looking for a turnover. You're looking to strip the, you know, that just overall aggressive attacking mentality of defense.
At the line of scrimmage with wide receivers, too.
Yeah, everything. And I don't think Bill necessarily believes in that because I think he believes you set yourself up to miss or to make a mistake rather than waiting for the offense to make the mistake.
Mike in Oregon. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's up?
I got two quick things to say. One, Fred, the Seattle Seahawks can do whatever they want, and the fans will still love them. So they can commit whatever crimes they want, and it's not going to change anything.
I don't agree, but okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry, but like, if you live in Oregon, you know how douchey Seahawks fans are. That's just the way they are. I mean, they were cocky when they stunk, and they're cocky when they're great. So.
Okay.
And then about the duck horse argument, I don't think either way you guys are going to win because yes, I go to the University of Oregon, and ironically, there's a lot of ducks. And just walking by a group of ducks and sneezing like I did yesterday, they will attack you. So either way, you lose. But I think I would rather go against the big one because the 100 ducks, there's no way you can get out of that one.
Right. Just think of them. They're coming from all directions, and just one. At least I know where it is and what it's coming from, and I can kind of figure out.
They're mean. They bite, and they scratch. Like it's awful.
Well, Ted Johnson also said they mate violently.
Oh, I've seen that. So yes, they do.
You mean you're talking about the student body at Oregon now, or are you talking about?
I'm talking about both.
Maybe it should be all blank right, like a duck instead of
thanks,
blank
Mike.
Like a.
Let's go to Mike in Maryland, then we'll take a break. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, not much. How you guys doing?
Good.
I don't think the Pats should get any cap relief for Aaron Hernandez because they got him for a bargain because they knew he was. There were issues. Everybody knew there were issues. They got him for a bargain. They took a chance because they knew it was they thought it was less of a gamble. They may not have drafted him in the first round based on his history, but they, you know, they have all these attorneys. They can do investigations. They have money. They can do all this stuff. It's their bad.
Yeah, and that's kind of Paul's point. And I kind of agree. Yep.
I don't think any. Listen, maybe the only thing is if they do take him to court and get the money back. Then there's legal precedent they can get some of the cap relief back. But hey, as far as I'm concerned, it's their bad. It's their due diligence on their part. They have to do their job. Do your job.
But I mean, I don't know enough about Aaron Hernandez's history and what they knew when and all that crap. I don't know that anybody knows that. Maybe that'll come out in trials. But I almost look at it like the bonus structure in the NFL where you have likely to be earned bonuses and not likely to be earned. Had he, you know, flunked out of the league on weed, you don't get anything. I'm sorry. That was you should have known there was a chance that was going to happen. I don't know where murder falls in line with likely to happen or you should have known. You know what I mean? Like, you know certain histories, and then there's something where it just goes so above and beyond what you expected could have been the end result. And I
totally agree with agree with what you just said. I just feel like you need to make it a blanket.
Would
rule.
You get cap?
You're right. It's generally easier when it's blanket.
What you just
would
said
the other day we came up with.
Would you get cap relief if he died in a plane crash?
I don't know.
I don't think you would.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't actually know. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
It's the Marquise Hill question. I mean, you get cap relief from Marquise Hill. That was an accident,
right?
You know?
And we didn't know because it wasn't necessarily a high profile player.
Somebody, but
you're absolutely right.
History. Was there something, he didn't know he was going to murder somebody, but was there something in his history that made you think he might be a little bit more inclined?
I'm not even having my view because of what I think the Patriots should or shouldn't have known. So, I just feel like these are the inherent risks when you sign players, and sometimes they go bad. Now, this is an extreme, way, way extreme that hopefully will never happen again. Hopefully we're never dealing with an NFL player who is accused of committing murder again. But there needs to be, you know, some sort of repercussion when it does happen. Not that it's your fault.
Like Mike Vick. I mean, that's a huge number. I mean,
did Atlanta get cap relief for that?
I'm guessing no. I don't believe so, right? I can't imagine.
Did they?
I don't know.
And that's an offense that is not to the extreme of
it's
murder.
It's not normal.
And it's not normal, yeah. But you may have known that he hung in certain crowds or just certain...
Right.
Paul's probably right. I think the blanket of you don't get cap relief is probably the right answer just because...
And it forces teams to do their due diligence.
Right, and keep things in line. But now I'm like... Now I'm the more I'm thinking about it is every contract you think about, it almost becomes like a socioeconomic racial issue too where like... Well, this guy came from the hood, so we can't give him $25 million signing bonus. But he's a farm boy from Iowa. I mean, what's going to go wrong? We can give him $25 million. It almost gets into like.
Well, that's why you have agents.
Stereotyping. Right? But, yeah. I mean, don't you think that then becomes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Tom Brady, we can give him $60 million. Drew Brees, we can give him $60
million. Less risk.
But, you know, Michael Vick, say he's the same. Oh, can't, you know. Right. He's the black kid from the inner city. Whoa, got to be careful. He's only, you know, good for 35 because there might be more risk.
It really muddies
the water there.
Yep. Thanks, Mike. All right, Mike and Marilyn. All right, we'll take a foods here. We'll take a little bit of a break. A lot of good stuff to talk about here. A lot of emails coming in. People hanging on the phone. We'll get to it right after this.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you listen? I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Eric from San Gabriel, California, wishes we wouldn't use the term thug to describe Richard Sherman. We didn't. Yeah, we didn't. Other people have. I don't think anyone here thinks he's a thug.
I actually like Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't agree with his post-game rant.
Yeah.
I know it was something that was personal, that stemmed from a summer interaction between Crabtree and Sherman, but I don't agree with screaming and yelling like
Andy's
that.
Andy's a thug. Richard Sherman's not a thug.
So. I don't like his on-field antics, though.
But it's nothing to do with being a thug.
No, but yeah. I just don't like his...
I don't mind. It's not my style, as you know. I'm not a pound-my-chest guy, look at me, but... Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with guys that do act. Like, I never really got offended by Deion Sanders in his showboating down the sideline with the head behind, you know, the hand behind the head, all that stuff. I always loved watching Deion play. I don't mind so much what you do on the field and stuff. I thought the one particular incident post-game after this game was a little over the top for my liking. And that's, you know, none of it is my style. I agree with Eric.
The Aaron Andrews interview, you mean, or the...
Well, both. Okay. The Aaron Andrews and the podium, because I even think the podium was worse, because at least you could say, on the field with Aaron Andrews, it had just happened. It was literally inside of 5 minutes.
Heat of the moment.
And, you know, by the time he got back in the locker room, that was probably well over an hour later, by the time he got to the podium after the ceremony and all the celebration, and he got changed, and he's basically repeated all the same stuff that he had said.
Zach from Boston has some good info regarding Hernandez cap hit and Michael Vick. Looks like Vic had a $20 million settlement and was ordered by the courts to repay part of his signing bonus to the Falcons. He then filed bankruptcy, and the NFL awarded the Falcons $3 million in cap credits.
See?
So
give him $3 million in cap credits. I don't know. What do you...
But it had to do with having to repay, physically repay.
And that's precedent, too. Yeah. So, I don't really... I don't have a problem if the Patriots end up getting, and not just because it would benefit the Patriots, I don't have a problem if it works out that way, that they get, I don't think it's like this huge injustice if teams get cap space, but I do think that it might help sort of discourage teams from making choices. Now, this is not going to eliminate it. You're always going to, you know, Michael Vick is going to get taken number one overall. The next time a Michael Vick comes out, he's going to get taken number one overall. I mean, that's... You're not going to discourage teams from doing that. But if in some small way you can sort of force the teams to be a little bit more accountable, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Jared says it's not okay to call Richard Sherman a thug, but You are saying the Patriots should be penalized for giving a troubled kid an opportunity to thrive in the NFL.
Oh,
Hernandez
it.
Squandered his opportunity, and he should pay the price, not the Patriots.
No. Stop it.
Stop what?
Now we're crediting teams for giving these underprivileged children the opportunity to play in the National
Football
League.
They're not doing it for themselves. They're not doing it for their own interests.
No.
They're trying to give a kid a chance.
Absolutely,
yeah, right,
Andy.
Right. Oh, did you hear, by the way, the Northwestern kids?
Yeah.
They want to unionize.
What do you think about that?
I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, I don't really
I
understand
don't know
it.
I hadn't heard like,
so
much
far,
more than that.
What does it mean?
Well, so far they haven't – they said that they haven't – they're not looking for money. The thing is they want
– protection.
Yeah, more – better medical care.
Yeah.
And more concussion-type protection.
Well, the NCAA, I guess, recently has come out and said they're not responsible for concussions. Wow. Not responsible for post-career problems with these guys, you know. Because don't forget, as much of a problem as it is in the NFL,
yeah,
there are a lot more college players that don't ever end up in the NFL. And the last they ever play, and I'm sure their percentages are pretty high of guys that,
sure,
you know, have
yeah, much higher
all these problems yeah. and they have no recourse. And I think that's what the driving force is
right.
behind the Northwestern thing. But I don't, and I know that a lot of our listeners probably just said, Paul just said, I don't know enough about it to comment on, and that hasn't stopped him in the past.
Or even right now. He's still talking.
He's still talking. I don't know. I know that the concussion thing is an issue, but I don't know Northwestern. Like
how, I want to know more.
I don't know
about
anything
it,
about the Northwestern.
I'm
other
intrigued.
Than the fact that the players want to unionize. I don't know really
once,
anything else.
Once they do have that union, even if the two reasons are for medical and concussions, now they'll have the leverage to ask for other things down the road. And so the NCAA must be really, really worried about that. You know?
Yeah, I don't really get it. I don't really understand how they could have a union. It's not their job.
It's not a job, right?
Right.
Well,
but I think
it... I mean, they're putting in the hours of a job, so it is kind of
but
like...
they're not even really. There's a lot of limit. Mm. Can't they only have like 20 hours a week? And
yeah, but I mean, you know they get around those.
No, I do, but it's not their job. It's a sport. It's a pastime. It's
I kind of agree with Andy. It's
I feel for them. I do think there are some inequities, as Paul likes to say.
There's a lot of
in the system
too. Yes.
Well, the system is broken.
But
there's no question.
There's also a lot that is put into everything. Like it's not like the schools just profit the money and there's nothing. These schools build the best facilities in the world. These multi, in my opinion. Way over the top, unnecessary, stupid facilities in terms
like
of
Oregon.
Locker rooms and in terms of weight rooms. I mean, you see these things, and the film rooms at some of these schools are like, you know, leather recliners with each player's number and embroidered in the logo on the, like, what? I mean, you're living the lap of luxury on some level, and you're benefiting from that. It's not financial, it's not straight cash, homie, but you're benefiting from that. They're not just. This isn't the Houston Astros, which just take all their money and funnel it into their pocket and don't do anything back for the team. These schools all invest heavily in the program, in the facilities, right?
And I'll tell you what's going to end up happening. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's definitely moving this way. Andy just talked about all the facilities. You're talking about a select few.
Yes.
Those select few are going to end up going off on their own. Now, I don't know how many you're going to go with them with the BCS
Notre Dame conference. Yeah.
Yeah, the BCS schools, not all of the schools, like Northwestern is in the Big Ten, which
right.
the Big Ten spends as much as anybody as a conference, right up there with the SEC and anybody else. But Northwestern is not one of those schools that does that.
And Northwestern
they don't have
is also
the embroidered,
an
you know,
academic institution.
Yeah, that's one of them academic schools. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are, and I'm not surprised that it started in a place like that,
mm-hmm. right.
where it blends big-time football with the intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kid that, you know, comes from a certain family and the
right.
way they look at things and the opportunities they have. I mean, Fred, you and I have talked about it, you know, whether it's fair or not. We were talking about Jamie Collins. We almost picture him coming from a place where, remember like the Marcus Dupree 30 for 30, where
yeah.
like it was like a little shack
right,
on
right.
a dirt road.
Right.
Now, I don't know whether that's fair or not, because I don't spend a lot of time in Alabama and Mississippi, but I still envision there's places where kids are coming from that to
dirt poor
Auburn, where they're getting fed.
Right.
They're sitting in leather chairs while
yeah.
they, you know,
with
they have
number
their Nike
embroidered
sweatshirt
on yeah.
suits on.
Right.
And they're pretty happy. It's a pretty good gig they got.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, by the way, don't play, don't become stars. I mean, for every, you know, there's 100 people on the roster and there's 10 stars.
Right.
So they're making out. They're benefiting from their lot in life.
They're
in the short term.
For
yeah, in the short term.
Years.
Right.
Or,
right.
But then what?
Yeah, then.
Well, they had a good 4 years.
And they also had
that
an opportunity.
That puts them ahead of a lot of people that didn't.
But they also had an opportunity to do
more. And they did have
an
opportunity.
Yeah.
The entire university is at, unlike Eric, they could have made the most of their college
years. Some of them take advantage of that, and most of them don't, unfortunately.
But the thing is, though, I think there should be a separate curriculum for these athletes, you know, because if you come to that school without the tools to learn, you know, a lot of these high schools, you get a diploma. Right. It doesn't mean you know how to read. So you come there without the tools to learn, and then you're mentored through it so that you really don't have to learn to get through. Is that really helping the kid?
They should make them trade
at all. You know, or are you
all football players who want to can go into a trade program?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Is
like
there
you
should
become
be
an electrician, a plumber?
Path
that, no offense to the
that the kid can choose. Like the kid gets there and they can choose. I want to go on the degree path where right. I take advantage of the scholarship, or I want to go in this more technical path mm-hmm. where
right.
you know I'm
can have a job when I get out.
Yeah, yeah. They should
that's
have some
idea.
Choice. You know,
glad we came up with it.
So, I don't know.
But the blue blood schools that Andy's talking about. They're going to end up breaking off and going off on
yeah,
their own.
Because they have the power to do so and have their own league.
Well, why
but that
they?
Concussion is a separate issue.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a major issue.
The kid at Northwestern, even though they're not spending on the leather seats, they're still getting hit in the head.
Right.
You know?
But that, but not even Northwestern. Tufts.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still getting hit in the head.
Division,
it's football.
Yeah, Division III. Peeing in the hotels, too.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
His compadres. Compadres.
I'm not sure they're
compadres. They were like 10
years after I left,
his
some kid pissed in a hotel room.
Confederates, that's a good word.
Lobby.
They were
was it a lobby, right?
Weren't they Lax Bros?
Lax Bros. In the hotel lobby.
But they were Lax Bros, right?
I think they were,
I think
yeah.
so, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, Lax Bros.
They get a little out of control.
Peeing out of the hotel.
But that's my point is the concussion is a separate issue.
Yeah.
Like, Golden Gloves. Are they responsible for any boxer that's ever performed in the Golden Gloves who got a head injury?
Right.
I'm guessing no. But that's where we're going towards this. People are realizing this is an issue, and who's responsible? No one's responsible. That's the bottom line.
I just think
you're responsible.
I just think it has to get to
Andy's
a point
right.
where reasonable is the key word, and whether it's a college or the NFL or Pop Warner, you're taking reasonable efforts to inform people of the risk and minimize the risk.
Well, and also, but also in treating, you know, it's, I think the NFL got in trouble with their, you know, too many stories of guys being told to go back in the game.
Right.
Stuff like that. That's, you know, if, along with your information, Fred, the education, you have to have quality medical care and in the best interest of the players, not the program.
But,
you know, the quarterback at Alabama, can't be set. We need you. We need this game. We're playing Auburn this week.
Right.
We need you to be back out there. And too often that's what happens. But you can't. I agree totally with Andy. You can't make the schools and the NCAA governing body responsible for every player who has problems 5 years after they played with concussions.
And don't you find it hard to believe that at Northwestern they're not getting
quality
good medical
care?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't
like,
know.
Doesn't that seem weird?
I don't
to you?
Know. Maybe they're talking about long-term medical care.
Yeah, that's why I don't know if it's all about Northwestern, yeah. all about just concussions. I'm not yeah.
well, then
sure what
it
it's
might
all
be
about.
Medical care. If you have injuries that you sustained in college playing football that are affecting you 10 years later, that you should still that just should still be covered.
Well, Obama will cover you, so you're fine.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, by the way, I need to look into this. What's this MyRA? What is that all about?
It's just like a
is that a distraction? Is that the old bait and switch? Because they're telling me, by the way, Social Security is not going to be around, so you better start finding another way. Is that basically what they're telling me? Because it's a fine idea in theory,
yeah.
but if they're going to, if you take all the money I've put in Social Security over the years and put it in MyRA, okay, I'm fine. We'll start out there. But if you're just trying to bilk me out of my Social Security money and come up with this new plan,
yeah.
I'm not happy.
No, it's an alternate form. You know, because
Jaw came out there.
Jaw came out.
Because there's a lot of companies that don't offer it or whatever, so they're trying to encourage people to do it. Social Security will always be there. It's just the benefits won't be as much as they are now.
I thought they have a drop-dead date now as when it runs out of money.
No, it never runs out of money because, look, there's 150 million people right now working every day, getting up and paying into Social Security.
Right.
There's always going to be money coming in. It's
but
just
not
that,
enough to cover the going out.
Right, exactly. So,
so
what
if you don't
have
enough
to
money,
do is
you're
they're
going
to have to either tax us more or decrease the benefits in order to make that even
either
out.
Way, I'm getting hosed.
But it'll always be there in some form. You just won't get as much as
right.
you're getting.
So
now.
Either way, I'm getting hosed.
So what is
yeah,
the
I
date?
Would have, Andy, if I were you, I'm telling you, my class action
we're not
lawsuit
get anything.
Against the. Well, that's what I already think.
We're not going to get
anything. I'm assuming
oh, you'll
anything
get,
I get,
you'll
it
get it
is gravy.
I'm assuming we're not going to get anything.
Gravy.
That's how I'm.
Why?
What is the drop
dead date?
Because
we're not.
You will. Are you paying into it now?
Yes.
You're going to get something.
But I'm going in with the mindset that I'm not going to get anything. Well, so I'm trying to save it in other places.
Anybody who can should not depend on that. That's not – I mean, the maximum you can get for Social Security per month, once you're 65, by the way, and for us it's going to be 67, is $2,700 a month. That's the maximum. You know,
it's more than I make now.
It's not a lot, really.
Well,
when you think about the increased medical, Medicare at that point. But
right,
you know.
And if it's two people, you both get it?
No. What happens is if your wife has enough credits, she'll get her own. If she hasn't worked enough, she will get, in addition to yours, she'll get 50% of
what
you get.
What are you, 1958? If she hasn't worked enough credits.
But she, well, they call them credits or years working
no,
or whatever
I know.
They call it. You know.
My wife has more credits than I do, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So does mine.
Yeah.
So we're both going to get 2,700?
Yeah. If whatever, that's the maximum. It depends on how much you made.
5,400?
Yeah.
It's not making 60-something grand a year when I, you know, but my you kids are gone and
but,
my mortgage
but
is done.
But remember.
And,
remember,
so that drop dead date will be around 2035 then when I'm turning
You don't get
67.
That full benefit until 67. If
right.
you can
and by the time I'm there, it's probably going to be 70.
You can take it as early as 62, but it's decreased benefits every year.
Right.
From, you know,
I'd have to weigh that, though. I'm not even sure I'm going to make 67.
Right. And the bottom line is...
I got
is,
that well running dry around...
The bottom line
20
is,
years
you know,
from now.
Should I take it at 62 or 67? It all depends on when you think you're going to die. You know, if you're in good health... And everybody in your family lives a long time, you should wait as long. If you're not in good health and you have a history of people in your family dying in early 70s, take it at 62.
62 it is then.
So, let's go to Noel.
62.
Noel. I don't think I'm going to have a decision. I think they're going to say, by the way, there's no money left.
Noel in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys. How you doing today? How'd you get from cap relief to the Social Security?
It's the off season.
This is what we do. Don't forget about the college football players union.
Very secure.
What was that?
It's very social, but not very secure.
Yeah. Well said.
Invest early and often, guys. Anyhow, hey, living in Denver makes this loss really, really hurt. Okay. But, you know, they took a survey. Eric, I agree with you. Root for Seattle, man.
Oh, yeah. And our Samsonite Make Your Case.
Nah.
Me and Andy went head to head.
Thugs.
Yeah, root for Seattle, okay? What,
now, why?
Now they're thugs.
Why do we want to root for Seattle?
I said there's lawlessness. I got yelled at.
You didn't read our debate, Fred?
No.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. What? Well, my point is...
You want to root for Seattle because you don't want to have to talk about Manning, especially living here in Denver.
Yeah, you've got the Manning factor. You don't want Manning to get that much closer to Brady's numbers so people can make that argument that, oh, you know, he's really the best of all time. You have the Pete Carroll factor. Former coach here. Guy was, you know.
Strike one.
No, but you might not have liked the way he coached, but he was always an enthusiastic, likable, positive kind of guy.
Yep.
What was the other point I made?
I don't remember. I can tell you my point.
I had 3 points.
The point you made was about Russell Wilson being a small guy.
Oh, yeah. Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, the underdog. Your little right. Napoleon complex.
That's right.
Because I don't know how anybody cannot like Russell Wilson.
Right.
I like him fine. I'm just not sure he's that good.
You know who
Have
Russell Wilson
heard,
is?
Quarterback
Wilson,
of the Seahawks.
Russell Wilson is Tim Tebow with talent.
Have you ever heard less about a quarterback in a Super Bowl than Russell Wilson this week?
All I heard about was his hair.
Nothing. I mean,
which,
it's
by the
like
way,
he's
be
a
little racist.
He's not even being talked about, you know?
Yeah, Trent Dilfer maybe.
Yeah.
By the way, I have a couple of questions I want to leave you guys with, and I want to hear your response on them. May I?
Sure.
Okay, I may be a master of the obvious here, but I really believe we need to sign Tlaib and Edelman. And I also believe that we need to get a Jared Allen type in there and a deep threat. And considering the fact that Randy Moss is too old and not available, I'd like to know your comments on what wide receiver do you feel would be best suited for us, like a Randy Moss?
Calvin Johnson.
That we might be able to get.
Oh,
okay, guys? And thanks a bunch, and I love your show, and we'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks, Noel.
Good call.
Well, we've had our Vincent Jackson discussions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with...
Jeremy Maclin?
James Jones.
Maclin's a good
Jimmy
one.
Jimmy Jones.
And Jacoby Jones.
Jacoby Jones.
I think are outside deep-type threats that don't have to catch 70 passes. They can catch 30 or 40 with, you know, four or five big plays in there. And I think they could really change... the offense.
But can they do that? Can Tom do that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
You might not think that that's what they need to do. I'm talking
about
an example of an attainable guy. I could say Calvin Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. You know, and I can say,
Larry Fitzgerald's attainable.
As you said to me, you know, you could be with Kate Upton right now, too. I mean, that's, to me, it's the same chance.
Be back in 3 seconds.
So, I think those two guys are free agents, and I think that James Jones might cost some money. So, I'm not sure that they could attain him. But that kind of a style, it doesn't have to be a star. Doesn't have to be the best deep threat in the league. But a guy capable of making big plays on the ball down the field.
But does that work with Brady?
Because I don't know.
As you say, we're only asking him to do X, he's going to run other routes. That's, you know, you don't run a go route. So when he runs that little comeback and he doesn't run it the right way and Tom even thinks of throwing it to him and then Tom blackballs him.
Well, then it's time to sort of do something about the quarterback. If we just cannot bring in a receiver that can get this.
What do about the quarterback?
I mean, it's time to move on. I mean, if you can't bring in receivers.
From the quarterback?
If you can't bring in any
Rook Jr. over here. Taj Boyd in the fifth.
No, but
Bill's
making a point.
No, I don't want to move on from my quarterback. But if we're now, this has gone on for 4 or 5 years now, where you can't seem to make a transaction at that position if he doesn't click with them immediately. Like, at some point, when is it not the receiver's fault?
What?
Is he
at
too
some
picky?
Point, when is well, it is not he, the receiver's fault?
Yes, he's too
fault?
Picky.
So you got to do something about that. But, Tom, listen, I'm bringing in guys. This guy's faster.
But
this
what
guy
are you going to do?
Jacoby Jones runs a lot of deep in cuts.
He is who he is.
He can do those things.
No, I know, but I understand in a philosophical manner what you're saying. But this is the real world. It's just like everybody who says, we got to get rid of Bill Belichick, the GM, or bring in a defensive coordinator to tell Bill how to do it. Ain't happening.
No,
if you take the good, you take the bad.
But
and part of the bad with Tom Brady.
But bringing in a wide receiver could happen. That's not in that category of those other things.
But making Tom saying, if Tom, either you deal with this guy or you're out, is unrealistic.
No, but I think there's an in-between there. I think, you know, whether it's Belichick or Josh McDaniels sitting down with Brady and saying, look, Tom, relax, okay? The guy's going to make mistakes. We're going to have to live with this.
And why should I trust you? I did that with Brandon Lloyd. Look how that worked out. I'm being Tom Brady right now.
Did you really?
God, yes. Yeah. God, yes. He invested throws and energy and everything into Brandon Lloyd. And how did that work out? Like diddly poo.
And I would say, don't take one person as, you know, the answer, you know, the reason why you shouldn't do it again.
I would say they would kill to have had someone on the team this year to have done what Brandon Lloyd did last year. And I don't think Brandon Lloyd, as you know, was any great shakes. They didn't have anybody that even approached that beyond Edelman.
And I think they would have been fine. I think if the rookies had stayed healthy, one of them could have done the crap that he did. If they invested in just one guy like they did him. I think Brandon Lloyd couldn't have sucked anymore in the role he had.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing with
I think I could put Eric out there, and if I make sure I throw to him 140 times during the season,
he
stays out there for every game,
and
I throw screens behind the line, he's going to catch the ball.
I agree, but they didn't have that guy that had the possibility of getting thrown the ball 140 times last year.
Right, guys get hurt and circumstantially, but Brandon Lloyd could have got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, wait, he couldn't have because he took a dive every time anyone came anywhere near him.
This is not a pro-Brandon Lloyd
Feels
thing.
Like it, and I'm anti-Brandon Lloyd.
And you know that I am, too. And listen, I know that you have your little personal thing with him because, you know, he just, you know, walked away in the middle of your interview. But
oh, yeah, because that's normal. I should be used to that. It happens all the time.
Aaron, a little thicker skin.
Aaron Dobson, to me, is a guy.
No, I hold grudges. I'm like Bill Belichick. I hold grudges.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst I've seen in my time in terms of walking away from an interview.
It was. Oh. It was embarrassing. What he did to you was embarrassing to him.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't embarrassed.
No, to him. I agree. Aaron Dobson's a guy that I think could be make some plays outside. I don't think be a high volume catch guy.
He's as good as Lloyd. He could be better than Lloyd.
But he could make plays. He could make some plays if he could stay healthy.
But all the receivers come with risk in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only ones that don't come with risk in the Brady area are Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, guys A, that he has ultimate respect for and wouldn't question, and B, I think, would sort of bow down to because he knows they're on a greatness level.
Right.
These other guys are beneath him. And they
imagine,
are.
Imagine if they brought Larry Fitzgerald in and then, like...
It didn't work.
In week three, he had, 6 targets because Brady didn't know where he was. What do you think the narrative would turn to then?
Oh, my God.
It would turn on Brady.
I don't think it would.
I do.
I think Larry Fitzgerald is done would be the narrative.
It might be. You're right.
I know it.
Jerry Callahan would lead that charge every morning at 6
a.m. He's done.
Todd and Weymouth, you guys are always questioning Fred when he says people disrespect the Patriots and Brady by asking who?
No, they hate us.
Well, I saw Marcellus Wiley on ESPN Sports Nation say that Brady isn't in the same conversation as Manning in terms of best quarterbacks of all time. He followed up by saying that Peyton is far and away much better than Brady in the best of all time. He also dismissed Manning's playoff record by saying that's just a function of the team, not in any way reflective of his performance. Well, that's Marcellus Wiley's.
They hate us.
Yeah. It's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
mean,
think I did think it was funny, though, that Elway was talking about, you know, it's so hard to say who's the best of all time because, you know, he's been left out of these conversations lately. You know, it's been Johnny Unitas and Joe Montana and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Elway's in that conversation, but no one's been talking about him. And I wonder if that bothers
him. Well, numbers hurt him. His numbers don't measure up to, like, Manning's. But I always hear that.
But at the time, in his era, they were certainly.
Sort of. He had some years that weren't great.
You want to talk, and I was a Broncos fan back then.
I know.
You want to talk about a lack of weapons.
I do not have a jersey you do.
You hit a nerve.
This whole three amigos thing, they stunk.
I agree.
It was all Elway.
Those teams stunk.
They really did.
I personally think that Elway is the greatest ever, and I don't think there are a lot of quarterbacks that could have dragged that team to three Super Bowls like he did.
I agree. You know,
well, don't underestimate.
And I'm not
the
talking
coaching.
About the Super Bowl years because the Super Bowl years were different. I'm talking about the years where he brought them to, you know, and then it got waxed by
San Francisco
or whoever.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't think there's those a lot of quarterbacks that could have brought those teams to the Super Bowl.
I mean, they would.
Yeah,
be,
they got killed by a vastly superior NFC.
Right.
The NFC was so much better than the AFC in those days. Much bigger gap than there is now.
Yeah. But that team would be in trouble, and then, you know, Reeves would let him go loose, and he'd bring him back time and again with stiffs, I think. Guys that weren't that good, you know?
I think people generally give him credit for being the most physically talented. The combination of arm strength, you know, those old, he used to leave tees on everybody's chest and everything.
He was Andrew Luck before Andrew Luck.
Well, he was a better athlete. He was more of a runner than Andrew Luck.
Probably more Aaron Rodgers with a better arm.
Yeah.
But he had that the whole combination.
He had the package, and I, you know,
and you liked the package.
I just wonder if, like, he wonders, hey, what about me? You know, when they're talking about all these greatest ever, when it comes to quarterbacks.
Well, I actually, you know, how I always talk about Clark Shaughnessy because Bill told me once that he's up there among the most respected.
And whatever Bill says to you,
well, but the other day I was like, I really, and I Googled him, and I went to Clark Shaughnessy's Wikipedia page to learn
say
about
like
him.
Tony Wikipedia.
And in there was it was this whole thing. His first head coaching job was at Tulane, and he actually got it because Notre Dame assistant coach Newt Rockne couldn't make it to Tulane. Travel, something happened, and the Tulane people wouldn't hire somebody without meeting him. So Shaughnessy got the job. They ended up scheduling Notre Dame, Newt Rockne, and Tulane wasn't very good, but they gave Notre Dame a bunch of good games. And at one point, when Newt Rockne was considered the best, somebody said, "Who's the best college football coach in the country?" And he said, humility limits my answer in this, but I would say if I were going to answer the two best coaches in the country, Clark Shaughnessy would be one of them. And because he didn't want to say.
Right.
You know, he really wants to say himself. And that's kind of how Elway should do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you want me to, two best, one of them would be Manning.
Yeah.
But yeah, Clark Shaughnessy, good guy. And was around forever. He took the job at Tulane as the head football coach, athletic director, head track coach, and something else. It was his first job, like after playing or something. It's just a total, and made like, you know, $1,500 a year or something. I find all that stuff very fascinating, those old days of football and kind of how it worked. And he moved all around, and very interesting. But he ended up getting famous at the end, basically, as he was with Halas in Chicago. Okay. He was his defensive coordinator, and very innovative, did a lot of innovative. He was known as the great innovator on defense.
Shaughnessy.
Get a life.
Jamie from Houston's on the Ace Ticket line. Hey, Jamie.
What's going on, guys? We're dipping our toes in the postseason here, and you're bringing it, so it's good.
Oh, we're in. Discussion. We're all in. Neck deep.
Has it been cold down there, Jamie? Were you included in that southerly chill?
Yes. It was laughable. They closed schools. It got to, like, you know, 20 degrees with the wind chill, and they closed schools. And, you know, they closed down city offices, you know, in fear of all this stuff, and you know, again, it was much about nothing. I mean, you know, you get those folks on some slick surfaces, and there's, you know, especially black ice, and there's 80 car pileup.
Why is it?
And that's
black?
Happened here in Houston before, and they have a long memory, and so I mean, they really take that to heart. And it made for clear highways for a change here, so it was all right.
Good thing you didn't have the Super Bowl this week, though.
I would have taken it. It's fun. I was just talking to somebody earlier this morning about what a fun atmosphere it is when you have it in your town. And we got three more years to go. I'm sure somewhere in some city office they're already getting ready for it here.
Oh, yeah. So what do you got?
But, well, you know, just piling on the Peyton Hayton talk, you know, my favorite thing saying this week is, you know, the only thing better than watching Tom Brady win a Super Bowl is to watch Peyton Manning lose one.
Okay. So
yeah, well, what happens if he wins?
You're going to be rooting for the Seahawks, I take it.
I'm rooting for the Juice Crew. That's right. The program.
There you go, Jamie. Nicely done.
Yeah. Which team? I'm pretty sure, you know, Pete Carroll at this point in time, probably he'd fail the PED test.
Well, you know,
he's aged well,
Sean Payton. Just remember hanging out with Roger Clemens.
He's really 93 years old.
He is actually older than you think, right?
Yeah.
He's in his 60s.
Yeah. Younger and healthier than I do. And,
he's older than Bill.
He ain't on something. Are you kidding me? Sure he is.
Oh, yeah. There was no doubt. I would not be surprised to find he's dabbled in HGH. No doubt.
I think
the head coach?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Wait, their head coach.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't want to make any
accusations
close to home.
Pete Carroll.
Yes, I would not be surprised if he ever, you found out, and maybe admits it. Like, later on he says, you know what, yeah, I went to this clinic and blah,
blah,
blah.
All I know is that I watched a 60-minute segment with this doctor from Hawaii that says, I swear by HGH, I take it myself. If it was, you know, if it was legal in all states, I'd give it to everybody. I think everyone should be taking it. I have no doubt that these head coaches in the NFL and other leagues that are around athletes who have access to it, they're doing it too.
Right.
Why not?
It's the Jose Canseco theory.
Yeah.
It's what his whole book was based upon, that everybody will be taking it under doctor's advice and guidance at some point.
Yeah. I'm talking about HGH specifically.
No, that's what Canseco was talking about.
Yeah.
And then dabbling in other stuff as you need it under the advice. But, yeah, HGH as the basis of long life, healthy life. And there's no doubt in my mind that Hollywood is
oh, absolutely. Because they have access to the money. They, you know, they can get it, you know.
But no one cares about that. It's my whole rant. You know, you pick and choose where you care. You care more in baseball than football. You care more in football than in Hollywood. And, you know, why? Either you care or you don't care. What?
It's the stats geeks.
Yeah, Andy, you've got the factor of the young males there, and you know they aspire to be football players. They aspire, and they see that as the standard, and they're polluting themselves before they even can fully develop. And that's, you know, no young child in an actor's guild is juicing up to, you know, so they can look 5 instead of 8 in an audition. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point. But I bet you there's teenagers taking it.
Oh, yeah.
In acting, well, I mean. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean,
I bet there are.
Like that.
Want to bet?
Well,
bet.
I mean, they're probably taking it for other things.
JT.
But, and that's a whole other piece of business. But
yeah, musicians.
Great off-season talk. But
all right.
You guys get back after it. Go Seahawks. Go Thug Crew. And I can't wait for the Patriots to get after it and get them next season.
All right. Thanks, Jamie.
So I'm in the am I getting killed in that poll, I assume?
Oh,
the
I would
last
assume,
I saw you were. Yeah.
I would assume you'd
it was like 3-1.
You took Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah, Patriots
and,
fans are going to be
and
rooting.
I didn't take Denver, by the way. I'm rooting for Denver. I've never hated Peyton Manning. I'm rooting for him. As I've said all week,
I root
for the debate. I love the fact that this is the greatest argument in all of sports in my history, the Manning, and this helps it become even greater.
Except if the Seahawks wore orange, he'd be rooting for the Seahawks.
No, but
that was
I
one
know,
of my arguments, yes.
I know you like Denver, and that's why you're rooting for him.
And Wes Welker, I like
him. I completely understand why Patriots fans... Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are forever going to be tied, and he's the guy that you want your guy to beat. So I can understand rooting for him just for that reason. I'm rooting against
him. What do I care if my guy beats him? What does that get me?
Nothing.
Yeah.
But I mean, what do you get for rooting for anybody? Nothing.
No, I know, but like that even
if you don't have
that's
a,
even less nothing. They don't give out a ring for the greatest quarterback ever. You don't get a T-shirt that says the greatest quarterback ever.
But
what's
it's
wrong
just
with
our guys?
But what's wrong with your favorite guy being considered the best?
Nothing's wrong with it. But what
so
do I get
all,
out of it?
But that's
I
all,
guy you
but that's all Patriots
better.
Fans
and
want.
And I can still argue that my guy is the best.
Right.
Just like right now.
That's how I
before
feel.
Before Manning
that's
wins.
That's how I feel. I'm not threatened. I'm not threatened by Manning winning.
Me either.
I still think Brady's great.
But I don't even care about the scoreboard. Yeah. I know that a lot of people, it's the be all end all. It's the scoreboard. Whoever has the most wins. Well, if Manning wins his next 12 playoff games, and whatever many Super Bowls that go along, I guess the next four Super Bowls, that wouldn't, if I was, you know, unless Tom Brady just like went, you know, over that whole time. Tom Brady, I assume in that time, Tom Brady in that time is going
to
continue to win 12, 13 games in the regular season and probably come up against a team in Denver that's better than them. Much like early in the decade, Indianapolis won all of those games and came up against Patriots teams that were better than them. Right? That's why Tom Brady got the jump, because his team was better. I'm going to evaluate the quarterbacks based on what I see, not necessarily the scoreboard. Like you said, Fred, if I think Brady is better, I'm going to continue to think that.
Right.
I don't
think, but at some point you reach, it's an argument right now for Manning and Brady. But I actually think if he wins the next four Super Bowls in a row,
well, then he had a better career.
But obviously,
then he had a better career.
Obviously, that that would be an extreme.
And he's the best ever.
But my point is, I think you can have an argument.
Because he'll have nine MVPs at that point.
Right.
But you could have an argument.
Five trophies.
You could have an argument based on, you know, based on sheer numbers that it's not close right now.
Right.
It's Brady in a blowout.
Right.
And you want to maintain
But I don't think that's what it is.
It isn't. But so, I tend to think that if Manning wins the next four Super Bowls, it will be a blowout for Manning.
Well, yeah. Mm.
See, but what if Brady continues to play really
You're
well?
You're right. If he beats Brady in the AFC title game each of those years, then it's a fascinating extension of this. But if Brady just kind of goes one and done and then...
Well, yeah, I'd say I don't think Brady's fallen off the cliff, just like Manning, I don't think.
No, but he could not fall off the cliff. He could win 12 games, you know, play, you know, the first round or whatever, lose at home, and... He would fall way behind if Manning goes on that kind of a run.
I mean, obviously,
I was exaggerating
to make a point, but my point would be, I think that you can analyze two players without having to use the, you know, who won the game as the
statistic.
Yeah, I think that just, all that means is who had the better team.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
That's how I feel. I think that quarterbacks won loss records. I know a lot of coaches say, well, that's what you're based on. That's what you're judged by. No, I think. The quarterback that wins generally is the quarterback of the better team. That's the team that wins often. Not every time, most often.
I heard some player on Radio Row, I forget who it was, said that in the NFL, most players are judged on, you know, their individual performance, how they did, but quarterbacks are judged on their championships.
Yeah. And I don't, like, you know, like I said, Elway to me was better than Montana. No, he had half as many Super Bowls, but to me he was a much better player. But doesn't mean I'm right.
It's just a fact.
It's totally a subjective opinion.
Right. See, I don't think anything's the be-all, end-all, though. They're all pieces of the pie. Like, if Andrew Luck never goes to or wins a Super Bowl, and Russell Wilson wins the Super Bowl, you can still say Andrew Luck was the better quarterback. Like, I say that right now, this whole phenomenon of these young athletic quarterbacks. Give Andrew Luck any of those teams with running games and defenses, and Andrew Luck might already have a Super Bowl title.
Right. That's how I felt about Elway.
It's a part of the overall analysis.
I think if Elway was the quarterback of the Niners back in the 80s, they may have won more Super Bowls than the Niners, than Montana won.
Certainly possible.
But again, it's not a fact. I don't have the scoreboard to make that, you know, my determination. It's just, you know, my evaluation of play. Dan Marino, to me, was a great quarterback who never won a Super Bowl.
But, like, even the Montana stuff, even though he went 4-0, like, that's what people throw out there. What if he didn't? What if he went 2-2, but still never threw an interception? That's another factor. Not just the win-loss in the big game, but his performance.
Agree.
Okay, his team wasn't as good.
He played every bit as good, but his team wasn't as good.
His 11 touchdowns, no interceptions wasn't enough.
I'm with you.
So there's just step after step. It's, you know, you kind of pare it down.
That's why it's such a great...
It's like the tiebreakers. It's like that when we get to the postseason, and it's like, well, you have head-to-head, and then you have, you know, conference record and division. It's the same thing where you're trying to pare it down, and eventually you get to the point where they have to meet on the side of the road and flip a coin.
Right. Smelly Mike in Flowery, Florida. A friend made the argument that he believes that everything else being the same, if Brady was on the Dolphins, Jets, or even Bills, they would have won the AFC East most of the last few years. I couldn't argue against that point, which has led me to realize that our overall talent is weaker than most teams, and that while Bill is the best, it is the quarterback that makes the difference. Further, we could have gone 0-6 in the division this year if the rest had competent quarterbacks.
I would say, what was it, 0-9 and 10, the 2 years the Jets went to the AFC title game, right? If Brady was the quarterback of the Jets those 2 years, the Jets would have won the division. I think you can make an argument this year that if Brady was the quarterback of the Dolphins, they may have won the division.
Mm-hmm.
Never would that have been the case if he was the quarterback of the Bills in the last 10 years, I don't think. I don't think the Bills had comparable talent to the rest of the division over the larger span of the
probably
last
not.
10 years. But the Jets, for that brief, you know, when they loaded up.
And not the Jets this year, even.
No. I said Miami this year.
He
not
would have
the
been
Jets.
Bitching about how he has no weapons.
He had less weaponry than he has now. But I understand that argument. I think that the difference between the Jets and the Patriots for a couple of years there with Sanchez was Sanchez and Brady.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Larry's in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hello, Larry.
What's going on, man? I was just calling because I was like, I was just reading the list for the free agency, and I was thinking, like, you know, what's the point of drafting these young guys and infusing them into the defense? I think we should go more veteran, especially in the cornerback. And I feel that, you know, I see Charles Tillman. I don't think it should cost us that much money. And, you know, it won't be a bad thing to have, you know, Logan Ryan as our fifth corner because, you know, bumps everybody down. And I don't think I want, you know, even though he's been reliable, Kyle Arrington, I feel like it's time to let him go.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be letting Kyle Arrington go. A, I think they like him. B, it would be a waste of money,
$8 million. Cost you some cap space. And I also don't think it would be realistic to sign Charles Tillman and retain Tlaib.
Probably not.
Because I think Tillman would cost you something, and it's certainly going to cost you something to keep Tlaib.
Well, some other type of veteran cornerback, and then, you know, a veteran safety, because putting these young guys and flipping the corner to see if they're going to be good or not, it's getting tiring.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, but those guys that you're talking about cost money. Veterans that can play cost money.
A lot of money.
Yeah, and it is really affecting the defensive line, because what's the point of having loaded up on the defensive line, but you can't get, you know, nobody can cover.
Well, it's what we've talked about. They haven't hit on any of their secondary picks.
Yeah. So
that's the problem.
Free safety, you know, should be.
Tavon Wilson should be a playmaking safety right now. Instead,
exactly.
He's a special teamer.
What about Jermichael Bird? He's going to be on a free.
Yeah, that's going to cost you.
Jarvis Bird
will
cost you money.
Yeah, I mucho dinero.
He was franchised last year by his team. I mean, he's going to cost you money.
You're talking about a $40 million safety right there.
Well, we need some type of veteran presence in that secondary because it's getting real bad.
Yeah, I'm not sure we need a veteran presence. I think we need
talent.
Playmakers.
Yeah. Talent.
We need high-level playmakers.
I'll take a rookie playmaker.
I think
over
we
a
have
veteran.
A veteran presence. His name's Devin McCourty. He's just not a playmaker.
I would love to have Jarvis Byrd, but I don't think
not
it's
for
realistic.
That money. Yeah.
I would take him for that money, but the Patriots wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Patriots wouldn't.
Something. All right, guys. All have right. A good one.
See you, Larry. Thanks, Larry. Tell those other people we said bye to. Let's go to Eric in Houston. Hey, Eric.
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing? Chilly down there, eh?
Yeah, a little bit. Ain't too bad, though. I just got a quick comment and a question. I think I'm one of the very few fans that are actually rooting for Denver.
Thank you.
Not really because of Manny, though. I want to see Wes win him one.
You should. All Patriots fans should.
That's how Fred feels.
Every one of them owes that man part of his life. He put his life on the line for 6 years.
And I'll give Fred credit for that because you were on the Welker bandwagon a long time ago.
Oh, sure.
If you said if the Patriots don't win it, you hope that Welker does because he deserves it. You said that a long time ago.
I bet you there's a little part of Fred, though, that's hoping he has like a key drop or something.
No.
Because I know you, Fred. Yeah, I see the smirk.
I see the
you
smirk
will
too.
Enjoy it. You will enjoy it. I can see it.
No, I really do. I want him to have a good game. What can you say bad about Wes Welker? Really?
I don't know. Ask Bill.
What do they have? Four touchdowns to keep to lead.
What do they have? Four touchdowns?
One of the worst plays I've seen.
I mean, you know, okay, so he's a little bit of a rebel. I don't mind that, you know?
Yeah, as rebels go, he's pretty lame.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
A lame-ass rebel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like he deserves one. After everything he gave us, I just want to see him win one.
Yeah, I do too. Plus, he wears orange.
I don't really care for the orange, but...
Well, you have bad taste.
Yeah.
Jesus. He's agreeing with you.
Yeah. My question is, what do you think is more important as far as draft-wise? Do you think we need to take a wide receiver over a tight end, or do we need a tight end more?
Best available.
Tight end.
Tight end. You need a tight end. You have no tight ends. Literally, none.
Best
Zero.
Available.
You have one who's dead from the knee down, and you have two others who are free agents who can't play the tight end position anyway.
I would. That said, if there's a Larry Fitzgerald type.
There isn't.
I know, but I'm saying if there were... And if the organization, if the scouting department thought this guy is Larry Fitzgerald-like or Calvin Johnson-like, I would take the wide receiver.
You know what I found interesting? I was starting to do the big board of, like, the first 15 wide receivers, according to NFL Draft Scout. All but one are juniors or below, juniors or sophomores. There's only one senior receiver in like the top 15.
Well, that's another issue that the NCAA and colleges have to deal with, is and because it's affecting who, you know, the scouting for NFL. Scouts are saying, like, we have to do so much more projection now because these guys don't have the time in college that, you know, on film that we have had, you know, 10, 20 years ago.
Well, the bigger issue is they're not allowed to talk about them, to them, anything right, as underclassmen until they've declared. That's what I think needs to be changed. Is this guy still on?
Yeah, I don't know. Eric, you still there?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks a lot for taking my call, and y'all guys keep up the great show. These off-season shows are awesome.
Okay, thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Stay warm.
I agree with the point that you were just starting to make there, too, about the contact. I mean, we all know that these college football players, a lot of them, their goal is to go to the NFL. So is it really a tragedy if, you know, Nick Caserio and his staff are on campus at Alabama, if they're talking to a guy who hasn't been able to declare yet?
Of course, I think that's silly. I also think it's silly that, even though I don't really care for him personally, a guy like Manziel can't make money off of clothing that he wears.
Well, that is
his number, his likeness, all that stuff. That's insane to me.
That's a major issue.
Totally agree with that.
But they also say that another thing that's forcing these kids to declare earlier and is the CBA. The CBA, because of the way the rookie contracts are structured.
Right.
Sometimes you can't get into your first real contract after your rookie contract until you're like 27, 28 years old.
Right.
You know, so these guys are like, I got to start my career as soon as possible, you know?
Now, the part of that that the NFL likes is the guys haven't been subjected. They can get them at a younger age before the habits develop in their programs.
I know, because the college coaches are so bad.
Well, I think some of them are.
Yeah.
I mean, Charlie Weiss.
Mark Richt.
You know.
It is interesting.
27 first-round picks every year and finds a way to lose four games.
The gap.
No offense, Mr.
Or the connection between the NCAA and the NFL is going to be an ongoing issue. But I do think they need to get rid of the you can't talk to or about underclassmen.
That's just flat-out dumb.
Right.
And it's not working. Because I'm guessing the fear is if you talk to them, that's going to make them want to come out more or think they have a better chance to come out. They're already coming out in record numbers. It's going up by like 25 every year now to this year. It's like 102.
Right. And there's a reason why those guys would be the ones taken higher. Because the NFL wants to get those players sooner. Yeah. And, you know, they're good players. And
you know, it's so funny because
if it was such a deterrent, they wouldn't all get taken so high.
If you were, if you got a full scholarship to, let's say, MIT because you're a big computer guy, are you allowed to talk to IBM in your sophomore year?
And no,
can you leave early?
Right.
Well, seriously, no one would look down upon you if you went and made $50 million at IBM.
Don't you hear? Left Harvard.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't you hear stories about captains of industry doing that all the time?
Stories. Right. It's like a positive spin. It's how cool this guy is. How
he
great
came up
he
with
was.
Something. Right. You know, in the middle of his sophomore year, and
you
he left
to college so that you can do that. If you can do it before you finish,
then you do it.
Right.
Plus, the other stupid issue of, you know, if he leaves school, I mean, that's it. You know, could never go back.
Oh, you can't go back. You know,
how could he ever go back?
Because that college diploma means so much today.
Right, right. Oh, ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Fred, remember when we were going? Fred, remember when we were going over my transcript?
Out. What? What?
Do you remember when we were going over my transcript?
Yeah,
my
I only cared what your grades were. Remember that? Yeah.
And you said, wait a minute, how come you don't have any grade point average?
Because he was too busy getting laid.
That's true.
I could care less where someone went to school. I really
you
don't.
You couldn't.
I really don't care.
It's I couldn't care less.
I could care less.
Yeah, I could actually care
right.
less.
I couldn't care
we're
less.
We're second to none, and by none, I mean Ford and Toyota.
I saw
that words have meaning.
You know what's funny? I saw that commercial the other night, and I laughed to myself. I'm like, yeah,
it's
just,
a terrible
Andy's
commercial.
Jaw is sticking out right now. He just went on a rant.
I could not care less where someone went to school.
Like Brady, he said that. I could care less about the Super Bowl.
Chester in Oregon. Hey, Chester.
So what would make you care less? Yeah. That would be my fault.
Specify what that would be.
What's up?
Screw the Denver Broncos, guys. I don't know what this is all about, but, you know, I've got much more of interest in the fullback, Coleman, with the Seahawks getting a ring over Wells Welker. And, you know, it is what it is, but I just I usually pull for the AFC. I just can't get it in me to pull for this team. I just
sorry, Fred.
But, man,
he doesn't care
guys,
about you.
You know, already thinking ahead to next year, you know, I, for one, think that we need to put more stock in free agency, too. I just know we only have so much in the kitty. Noel in Denver brought up my guy that I'm really going to be pulling for in this offseason, and that's Jared Allen. You know, I always look for more toughness in certain areas, and I feel like we really lack toughness on that defensive line without Vince and, you know, that leadership. I think Jared Allen would be a fantastic compliment to Chandler Jones. I just wanted to ring in real quick and ask you guys, is there a likelihood that we would put stock finally into that defensive end position? And if so, do we have the money to spend? What his price tag will be? Because honestly, I feel like a guy like this could really make that paradigm shift on that defensive line. But that's all I got. I hope all is well with you guys. By the way, sorry I was out of the mix last week. I was a podcast listener. But, Paul, I heard your rally cry about us sticking around the offseason. I'll certainly be around to keep you guys on your toes. You guys have a great weekend.
All right. Now. Thanks, Chester.
I had no doubt, Chester. I wasn't – you weren't necessarily one of the ones I was imploring to stick with us.
I think you know, I think that they should invest in somebody like a Jared Allen because
whatever the situation is
in the defense secondary, if you can get to the quarterback a little quicker, it's going to help them.
Absolutely,
whether it's Tlaib or Arrington or Dennard, it's going to help them.
I think
you can
defense,
get the ball out of the hands of the quarterback a second earlier.
Your defense always, I think, starts up front.
I think it's always been the case, but I think even now, you got to win the battle at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know,
with quarterbacks getting the ball out in 2 seconds or even less sometimes. Yeah.
I just feel like passing games are too good. You know, the good teams are too efficient passing the ball to sit there and say, well, we're just going to get cover guys. We're going to cover. Well, some teams, if you have time, you're going to beat the best coverage. And I think that you need to find a way to get some pressure. I don't think Seattle would be as good in the secondary, even with those great players like Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, if they didn't get a lot of people around the quarterback. I think they're swarming up front. And I think that's the – you have to do something to disrupt the timing
of
passing games nowadays. And what they did against Denver with the front four wasn't anywhere near good enough.
And it can't always be just, you know, hit them off the line, pressure. You know, it's got to be the quarterback.
Like you said, Fred, with Seattle, it's – confidence that you're going to win the one-on-one matchups.
Right.
Jared Allen, and now listen, I don't know if he's the same guy. I didn't watch a lot of Minnesota games, but he's a proven pass rusher.
I was just looking up. He had 11 and a half sacks, 4.5 over the final month of the season in December. So he finished strong.
Maybe he got his shipment in late in the season. What?
Just as long as he forwards that shipment to New England.
Right.
I don't care. I'd take him.
I would take
him.
Now,
I think he's going to get paid. I think he's probably going to get a shorter-term, decent money deal, a 2 or 3 year deal with some decent money.
Could see him getting like a 2 year, $16 million contract, something like that.
And my guess is that would be richer than they'd be wanting to go because that's richer than they want to go.
Howard in Stratford, Connecticut, just to play a little devil's advocate to Andy's tirade on Tuesday before the break regarding the need for a few more game plan around players. How much further have the 49ers gotten because they have those players and the Patriots don't? The whole basis for not having more of those types of players is the cost associated. It allows the team to have more of the next level down across your roster so that when the inevitable injury bug strikes, the team can still compete at a high level. Either way is right or wrong. They are simply different ways to achieve obviously the same goal because neither the 49ers or the Patriots seem to be able to make the leap to get to the Super Bowl.
So if teams had to game plan around Chandler Jones, you'd have to pay him more? Or if you had to game plan around Dante Hightower, you'd have to pay him more? No, you'd pay him the exact same amount they make now. My point is, you drafted guys that aren't playmakers, that aren't game plan around type players. You don't have to just get those guys in free agency. The Belichick way can work. You can get them in the draft. You just have to get them in the draft, just like the San Francisco 49ers did. Alden Smith, draft. Patrick Willis, draft. Navarro Bowman, draft. They did sign Justin Smith as a free agent a long time ago, but a lot of their core players are drafted players who they hit a home run on. One of their biggest busts in history was Nate Clements. This $80 million contract, he's irrelevant, should have set them back a decade, probably, with that contract. Didn't. It didn't really hurt them that badly. They're fine right now, right? And by the way, if you give me some of those players on defense, Brady's going to be better than Colin Kaepernick, so you're going to win. But it doesn't really have anything to do with money. It has to do with picking the right people. John Abraham would not have cost you a boatload of money, not a cap-altering type signing. Had you signed him, you probably would have been better on defense this year, right, Fred?
I think
he proved himself ability to make plays
this year. It's not always about the highest-priced players.
Right. It's about the right 53.
Let me jump in here on Andy's side.
I'm going to jump in.
No. Why are we cherry-picking San Francisco?
Well, that was the example that Andy had last
Tuesday. But he was saying about team, but the email talked about players that you have to game plan around. Does not Seattle have those?
Does not Seattle have those?
Seattle has a ton of guys that you have to game plan around. They're in the Super Bowl. So let's not make it sound like if you have one of those teams that you have individual players that you have to game plan around, you can't succeed. Because San Francisco has somehow failed in getting to the Super Bowl in the conference championship. By the way, 3 years in a row, just like you did, only they got to the Super Bowl last year instead of 2 years ago. So what has San Francisco done wrong?
Big Wave says, save yourself time with your draft previews. Just research players from Rutgers and players all the experts say will go undrafted. That's who Belichick has his eye on.
I like it. How do we... Seems like a lot of players.
A lot of guys projected to go undrafted.
Right. Yeah. That's a lot of
I can get my Perillo guy.
Right. No. Nope. No, he might go drafted. He's projected as a seventh-round pick. So you can't. Nope. Can't have him. Have Joe Flacco's brother.
There's a Perillo coming out in the draft, Freddie.
Is there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And he plays?
I believe tight end.
So
there you go.
He's got some red flags. Temper.
Really?
Incident at Babies R Us.
Body fat.
Yeah. A little softer around the middle.
Looks 60.
Much older than he is.
we got about a little
slow out of the gate.
We got about 9 or 10 minutes left in the show, so I think we should get to the
hurry.
Picks.
Are you serious?
Pick. We got to get to the pick.
We want to talk about it a little
pick.
Bit.
Do we?
Yeah,
sure.
No? It's our last show before the Super
Ever?
Bowl. I think we should at least address.
If that was really Mr. Kraft that we hung up on,
it was. You know, we should address who we think will
off
win
on the camera.
And why. What happened last week, Paul? Bad week.
Nothing.
For me.
Eric went 2-0.
Yeah.
Andy went 1-1. And
Eric beat the bye.
Paul and Fred went 0-2 with the spread.
Suckers.
1-1 for Andy and Eric.
Woo.
0-2 for Paul and Fred.
Yeah.
That's what we get for being homers.
Proving yet again that Fred can judge crap football, but when it's all coming together with the good teams, falls flat.
Well, the Niners one was a tough. Eric was the only one who got Seattle right, and we had that one until Kaepernick
decided to go after the best quarterback.
Exactly. So that was a crusher. So the playoff standings, I continue to lead at 7-3. Fred is behind me at 6-4. Andy and Eric are 4-6. With the spread, Eric.
I can't get to 500.
Eric is in the lead with the spread at 5-4-1, and the rest of us are 3-6-1.
Wow.
So Eric will win the spread no matter what.
No matter what.
There's a first for everything.
Yeah.
You know, you don't actually get a spread for winning
the
spread.
Unfortunate.
Seattle is playing Denver in the Super Bowl, Fred.
Everybody knows what you're talking about.
Wow.
And
just a quick note from our listeners. Apparently, if you do ask how much... With a prostitute, you have crossed the line into where you have propositioned or something.
You have become
and you
a John.
Be arrested. Yes. Right. So do not ask how much.
Where did that term come from? Calling someone who solicits
a
John.
Like for a research paper.
Well, it's also a bad idea. As I said to Eric, if she's mildly attractive and you say how much and she says like $20, it's just an offer I can't pass up. It's too cheap, right? I wasn't going to, but, you know, it's too good to resist.
Good to see where his moral compass is.
Right.
You insult her for... Being, you know.
That's it. Let's go. Let's go.
I'd have been willing to pay you at least a couple of hundred.
Right. I thought you.
So, okay. What do you got for a number?
It opened with Seattle favored by 1.
Really?
It has moved dramatically.
Oh, wasn't that because of Floyd Merriweather?
Denver is now favored by 2.5.
Wow.
Did you see that with Floyd Mayweather put $10.4 million on one of the two teams?
Really?
And that single bet altered the line. Because all at once, $10.4 million on one of the teams.
Wow.
That dude is going to be broke as hell, isn't he, someday?
Yeah.
He's made a hell of a lot of money, though.
That's fine. It's his fault.
I believe the line we had this morning was Denver by 2.5.
Denver by 2.5.
2.5.
Anybody know the weather? Because I keep hearing conflicting
reports. Now
let's check it right
degrees.
Now. Let's check
yeah,
it
but I need
right
to know
now.
The wind.
Hold on. Yeah.
I've heard I'll less than 10.
And then I heard more than 20. That's a big difference.
Let's check Nuevo York.
I'm inclined to go the same way either way, but that's a factor.
You like Sherman?
Hmm?
He throws very accurate passes, and they'll get where they need to go, but they'll be ducks. Did you see
pretty
that?
Much.
Something like
I
paraphrasing.
I agree with him. They take forever to get there, but they're going to get there.
So this is great radio here.
I thought Eric was looking up the weather.
I am. Yeah, but we can't just stop talking while he's doing so.
Well, I will be rooting for the Denver Broncos, and pretty much either way, I'm taking the Denver Broncos to win and cover. I just think that you look at the matchups. It's the best passing offense versus a very good passing defense. I still think Manning, almost regardless of the conditions, is going to move the ball some, score some points, have some success. You look at the other side of the ball. Can Marshawn Lynch just run the ball down the Broncos' throat? I don't think so, just like I didn't think LeGarrette Blount. Now, they're a better running team, so they may have more success than the Patriots did. They'll probably stick with it longer because it's more the aspect of their offense. But will Russell Wilson make plays to win the game? And I don't think he will. I'm putting my money on Manning, on Welker, on the offense. I don't. Maybe they have to score 20, 21 points, 24 points to win the game. I don't think they have to score 38 or whatever they average during the year to win the game.
Okay.
And I think they will score enough to win.
Daytime high in New York is going to be 46.
Ooh.
Low of 26, 10% chance of precip. Cloudy all day, though, at least this, you know, 3 days out here. But nothing about winds or anything like that. So,
okay. So
looks
like
it's going to be pretty mild.
So 26
at game
time, then.
Right.
I mean,
it's going to be.
You're talking about
6:38. Game time will probably be about 30 degrees.
You're going to be closer to your low than your high at
that time. Right.
But to me, it's not so much the cold, it's the wind.
I agree.
If it's not blowing his balls around.
Well, hey, hold on.
Yeah, I said blowing and balls in one sentence. Talking about wind and footballs, of course.
I think it's going to be a very entertaining Super Bowl because I think Seattle is going to be competitive. The Broncos, I think, are going to have their offense kind of clicking the way they did against New England. However, I think like the New England game a couple of weeks ago, it's going to be relatively low scoring, low 20s. I could see a 23-20, you know, 26-24, something, you know, in the lower 20 region. But I think
26 is actually the upper 20 region.
That's mid-20s. So I think, but I think Manning...
24 to 26 is mid.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, 0 to 3 is lower, 4 to 6 is mid, 7 to 9
is upper.
I was
going to pick on like the Patriots game a couple of weeks ago when they only scored 16, and all of his predictions had both teams in the 20s.
No, I meant I said the Broncos offense is going to be clicking, but they're only going to be able to score in the low to mid-20s like they did against New England. But I think it's going to be enough. Broncos win. I'm going to say 24-20 final score. But it's going to be a little bit of a seesaw battle. Seattle will compete.
Okay.
I am with Andy in that I am rooting for Denver.
Judy looks good live.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. I have nothing against Peyton Manning, and nor do I have anything against Wes Welker. So it's not gonna like break my heart if they end up winning. I really like Russell Wilson too, and I think it would be nice to see him win a game, Super Bowl. I think the weather is the biggest factor in this game, and I don't think it's conducive to Denver. I think the difference between this game and the Patriots game is, well, Marshawn Lynch probably will not be able to run the ball really effectively. Seattle's defense won't allow Peyton to then just take the ball and drive it at will every possession of the game the way he did against the Patriots. That's going to give Seattle more opportunities. They're going to get more possessions, and I also think the Seattle defense might make a play here to put points on the board. I think if this was perfect conditions, perfect weather, I would say Denver would win the game. I think Denver's a better team. However, I think Seattle is going to win this game because the wind is going to prevent the aerial circus, and when it comes down to it, I feel better about Marshawn Lynch in the Seattle running game than I do Sean Moreno and Monte Ball in the Denver running game. And the defense is terrible for Denver, and obviously it's the best in the league for Seattle. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think we're looking at something like maybe 24-20.
It's just like mine, only the earth of team slipped.
Yeah.
24-20. I don't know who I'm rooting for. I'm kind of rooting for a good game.
I said they got to have field goals.
You know, like Paul, I'm not going to be devastated if the Broncos win. I'll be kind of happy for both teams if either one of them wins. You know,
I won't be happy for Seattle if they win. I'm not going to lie.
You know, so this isn't who I'm rooting for, but I kind of agree with Paul except for one thing. I don't think Denver's defense stunk 2 weeks ago.
No,
I think they played over their heads. And I think if they play that way again, I think they're going to win this game. And I think they will. I think they're going to come fired up. They're going to stop the run. And I don't think it's going to be that windy where it's going to affect Manning. So
I'm looking for a Broncos win here.
Woo!
More like 28-13. I think they're going to kind of
convincingly
kind of run away with it at the end there.
If your weather conditions,
I want to give one.
Go ahead. I didn't write them down.
Yeah, but see, the Seahawks fly, Fred.
14.
I didn't write them down.
The Seahawks fly, so they have the advantage.
Right.
If the weather is not a factor, I kind of agree with your scores. Both of you. Yeah.
Is it like an eagle? Is it like mean or is it more like a seagull?
That's hurting
my ears.
They
got very strong beaks.
Do they?
Sure.
You have no idea.
Is that where the horse duck thing argument is coming from? Because the Seahawks are kind of like a bird or
a Seahawk?
Well, but
one horse-sized Seahawk versus 100 horse.
Is that where the argument came from, maybe?
I have no idea.
But how do ducks get involved?
Well, because
Seahawk sounds much meaner. And it's got that little point on the end, the curve around that. If he gets that, you'd be dead.
Anyway, how many times you could hit your head?
Overall, I'm hoping for a good game, a good
just
competitive
once is what
game.
I agree.
You know,
good Super Bowl.
You think Judy colors her hair?
I haven't thought about it. Not once.
Jet black.
Ever. Nope.
Upstairs or downstairs?
Oh.
Well, upstairs I was talking about. I'd like to find out downstairs.
Oh, my God.
She does like
that. God, Fred.
I can't believe you just said that.
What did he say? He didn't say anything.
There's nobody listening that doesn't know what he was talking about.
Right.
That's gonna
just
be
like I always tell you, we always know what you meant.
Speaking of which, who's the pussy now?
Everybody have a good Super Bowl Sunday. We will see you next Tuesday.
Oh, you guys are pussies.
Right there.
Can't see nothing in front of me. Can't see nothing coming up behind. Make my way through this darkness. Can't feel nothing but this chain that grinds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. How far I've gone, how high I've climbed. On my back's a 60-pound stone. On my shoulder, half mile of line. Come on up for the rising. Come on up with.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.